witness Georgia execute an innocent man.
McPhail's mother, Annalise McPhail, says the execution was not a happy occasion for her.
There is no reason to celebrate or do anything because it is not good for both families suffer under this. I'm sure his family is suffering like terribly right now, too.
Davis was executed after the U.S. Supreme Court rejected a last-minute appeal. Texas executed Lawrence Russell Brewer for his role in the dragging death of a black man 13 years ago. Brewer was one of three men convicted in the murder of James Byrd. The two Americans released by Iran Wednesday are now in Oman, where they were met by relatives. Shane Bauer says he hopes their release is just the first of many.
2 years in prison is too long, and we sincerely hope for the freedom of other political prisoners and other unjustly imprisoned people in America and Iran.
Bauer and Josh Fatale were arrested over 2 years ago, along with Sarah Short, who was released a year ago. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas plans to submit a letter to the UN Security Council Friday requesting statehood. Palestinian Legislative Council member Hanan Ashrari says it's long overdue.
It's been 63 years since Israel was created on Palestinian land. It's been 44 years since Israel occupied the West Bank, including Jerusalem and Gaza. It's been 20 years since we launched the peace process.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Dear Kelly, we're so proud of the young woman you're becoming. You've been working very hard, and pretty soon, you'll go off to college. And when you do, we'll make you a deal. You keep up the grades, then we'll cover the tuition. Love, Mom and Dad.
When you give the gift of New York life, you give the most selfless gift of all. Whole life insurance gives you the financial protection to help achieve your family's goals, in good times and bad. Contact your New York Life Insurance Company agent or visit us at newyorklife.com.
If you travel frequently by air, you still may complain, but by now you're accustomed to all the extra fees, baggage, booking, fuel, on and on. But when you land, you're not done. More fees await at the hotel. A study by New York University finds the hotel industry likely will rake in $1.8 billion this year from new charges for new things, such as housekeeping, room service trays, and holding your luggage. One of the most important corporate earnings reports of them all is on the docket for today. That's because increasingly FedEx is viewed as a barometer of the overall economy. Profits and revenue at FedEx reflect growth or contraction in consumer spending, business spending, and the impact of fuel costs. FedEx earnings scheduled for this morning before Wall Street's opening bell. Worldwide gloom following the Fed's long-term bond purchase announcement yesterday. Asian markets down 2 to 5% today. European markets down 3 to 4%. S&P futures down 18 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking, is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing 0, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million shopping carts being filled. 275,000 homes being built. Yep. That's the sound of a CSX train doing its part to move the economy forward. Sounds pretty good. CSX trains are the most efficient way to bring goods to market. See how at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Now at the Home Depot, Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch wide insulation is just $9.97 a roll. EcoTouch is softer and easier to handle, so it's also easier to install. Plus, it's a project you can do yourself in just one afternoon. Then enjoy lower energy bills year after year. All because you picked up Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation for just $9.97 a roll. More savings, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
So, you want to lease this new space for your business. Looks like it's set up for about 50 employees, but right now, you only have 19. I'm just curious, what are you going to do with the rest of the space?
I'll grow it.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And that is the question of the day. Are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano? I certainly hope so, and good morning to each and every one of you. We begin this Thursday morning mindful that in what is considered the greatest democracy, the greatest country in the world, sometimes the right thing doesn't happen. I'm referring to the execution of Troy Anthony Davis, which was made official last night at 11:08 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll talk about that amongst a flurry of other things this morning. And good morning to each and every one of you. We do have a pretty fantastic show lined up for you today. A little later on in this hour at 6:50, Richard Anderson will be joining us. They are looking to restore one of the Bablo boats, the SS Columbia. He'll be here to talk to us about that at 7 o'clock. Yes, indeed, the coffee party themselves. Eric Beiler, one of the co-founders, will be with us. And as we begin to perhaps, you know, take a step in that direction, is it time that we engage more Michiganders in Southeast Michigan and maybe join the coffee party? That is the question. Dave Holtz, the executive director of Progress Michigan, will be with us a little bit later on in the show today as well. And with that, we get started as we do every day.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
The first word this morning is Facebook. Why Facebook? Well, it has absolutely nothing to do with you wanting to like my Facebook page. It has to do with the literally millions of people that were outraged yesterday while Facebook continues to make changes to their interface and how we use it and why we use it. If we could harvest a small percentage of the energy that people went into complaining about Facebook yesterday and actually used it towards social change that matters, my God, we would be able to solve our problems practically instantaneously. It makes you wonder. It really does. Really, what gets someone's goat? If you paid attention, and I know many of you are on Facebook, if you paid attention, you know a lot of people were really angry yesterday. Angry to the point where they want to do something about it. Where's that anger? Where is that motivation as it comes to those things that our politicians are doing to us on a daily basis that you just seem to accept? But God forbid, if it's Facebook, well, then we better do something about it. Really? Really? Is that the way we do things here in this country? Apparently, it is. Facebook, our first word this morning. And good morning, Mr. Radford. You know, you and I talked briefly, very briefly, about this Facebook stuff yesterday. The anger, the outrage was just amazing to me. I couldn't believe how many, and it was front and center on the Free Press, the Detroit News, you know, even the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times wrote about changes on Facebook. People are outraged over all this stuff. Jeff, really? Really? Is this what we get angry about?
That's because people use Facebook. Oh. I don't use Facebook that often, so I could care less. I try and use it once in a while. But actually, the good thing is, though, is if you go onto Facebook and you look at your page, then things are a little messed up. If you go onto the first shift page, which is how I set Facebook up, I have to click on this tab thing, and it just takes me straight to first shift, and that's how I use Facebook. It looks exactly the same, and it's all as great as it's always been, so that's how I do it.
Yeah, well, and I pretty much use it in that regard, too, but I just, you know, it got me to thinking. All this outrage, all this furor, all this, you know, we need action, we want, you know, come on, you know, you just said, well, it's because something people use. They don't use their democracy. I mean, you kind of made my point for me, bud.
Well, I'm glad I could help. Anytime you need me, I'm right over here.
You are quite helpful. Thanks very much.
I was thinking about not even opening the mic and just sending you a message on Facebook reply. But
well, I just couldn't believe the outrage. It was really quite interesting. And if you've got nothing better to do than to complain about what's how Facebook is designed, maybe your life is a whole lot better than I realized. I don't know. But if you can get that excited about something like Facebook, folks, can't you really get excited about turning your democracy around? I'm just suggesting. That's all. Hey, did you end up getting a nap in yesterday?
Hey, yeah, I think I did. Okay. I couldn't remember because it's, the whole day floats in together. But it, what's bad about it is I'm actually more tired today than I was when I get less sleep. So I don't understand that at all.
I don't either. Well, you and I were talking. It was about 1 o'clock, well, 12:30, whatever time it was, and I told you I was pretty well caught up. Not that I didn't have stuff to do. I just, one of those days. You ever have one of those days you're just not feeling it? You know, you just don't feel it. Like you got stuff to do, but you're going, well.
I call those weekdays.
Okay, well, W-E-A-K or W-E-E-K?
Both.
Okay, they just wanted to know. So I decided, which is something I have never done during the week. I've never taken a nap during the week. And so I thought, well, for whatever reason, just real low energy yesterday, and I just didn't feel like I could go on. So I laid down about 1:30. I laid down and I slept till 3 o'clock, and I so regretted it. I got up. I felt like crap. I mean, I just felt awful.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think somebody told me this, and I don't know if it's the truth or not, but let me know if what you think about this. If you sleep longer than a half an hour, then you'll feel worse. If you only take like a 15 to 20 minute nap, you'll feel refreshed and fine.
See, and that's, for me, that's not true. I mean, I'm sure it is for others. I'm sure there are, you know, a lot of people can do that 15, 20 minutes, 30 minute nap thing. I can't. It takes me a little while. During the day, it takes me a while to fall asleep. If I go to lay down to take a nap, I don't fall asleep right away. Now, at night, I pass out. As soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm gone. But not during the day. So that has never worked for me. And I don't know. It wasn't worth it is what I'm saying, and I won't be doing it again. I just won't. I felt, like I said, I got up at 3 o'clock. It was 4:30 before I felt I had my wits about me again. And that, so I basically wasted 3 hours of my day yesterday, which could have been used for much better purposes. But, oh, well, onward and upward. Now I know. Now I know why I don't do that. So we've solved that mystery. Anyway, my Tigers won last night 6-3 against the Kansas City Royals. The little pitching experiment was kind of weird, but it worked, all things considered.
That's what they should just do from now on.
What? But
pitch all five of them even. Don't even have a rotation. Just let Verlander get the first two, and then you can pitch them all every day.
Why are you doing this?
I don't know. Just thought I would throw it out there. I guess it worked. It took what, to the seventh inning for them to tie it, and then they finally took the lead in the eighth?
Yeah. I kind of got a kick out of the Miguel Cabrera usage last night. He comes in. He hits a double. Of course, he didn't start the game yesterday, so he comes in as a pinch hitter, hits a double, gets to second base. They put in a pinch runner. So that was his whole game yesterday was hitting a double and leaving the game. I wonder if that's the shortest appearance in baseball history.
Most productive.
Well, yeah, that, it was, right? That was pretty productive. We actually scored a run on that, I believe. So that was just very interesting how they used him. I don't know. There's all kind of prognosticators out there. Everybody's second-guessing Jim Leland, as they've done all year. Is he, you know, should he be doing it this way? Should he just be playing the guys, you know, they need to win? So on and so forth. I mean, this guy can't catch a break. He wins. In fact, the Tigers were the first team in baseball to clinch, and he's still taking crap. What's that all about?
they play in the weakest division, Tony. That's what it is. I mean, they should have clinched by June, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, even if he wins the World Series, they'll say he didn't do it fast enough or he didn't do it the right way or, you know, okay, it's 1 year, but let's see it a couple of years. And I mean, I've actually talked to friends who've said that. I'm like, they went to the World Series. Yeah, but they haven't won a division title. Would you rather win a division title or go to the World Series? I'm taking the World Series every time.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to a little sports talk radio yesterday, late morning, early afternoon, and some guy actually called and said, no, whether they win the World Series or not, Jim Leland needs to go. They shouldn't have given him the one-year extension. He obviously doesn't know what he's doing. The players are talented, and he just pretty much got lucky.
Yeah, if he doesn't know what he's doing, but if he wins a World Series, he still needs to go.
That's exactly what this guy said, Jeff.
What's the point, then?
Well, perhaps we don't need a manager. You know, just let the guys decide, you know, every day. Okay, who wants to play today?
Draw straws.
Draw straws. You know, or how, you know, remember you see that thing for first at-bats? You'd throw the bat, and then somebody would grab it, and it was hand over hand. Remember that? Do you ever do that as a kid?
No, we had different methods, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
You know, maybe that's the way we should do it.
When I was a kid, this is a real crazy story, but when we were kids, baseball, when I was a kid, was real popular. Like, it isn't anymore. It doesn't seem like it's, you know, it seems like everyone's first choice is football, and then basketball is up there. But when I was real little, it was baseball, and, like, we'd have recess. And we were in separate classrooms, so the guys in our classroom didn't like the guys from a different classroom. We had to run out to the ball diamond, and you had to the first one to take your mitt and hit the sign all the way at the top of the backstop. Then your class got to use the diamond that recess. And I can just remember running out there and trying to hit the sign with your mitt, and then being ticked off if one of us missed, and then the other class got it for the recess period.
You lived a very traumatic childhood, I can tell. Yeah, this is
but
really...
that's how you should settle things. Throw a mitt at something.
Throw a mitt at something. There you go. Well, you know, maybe, because God knows the way we're doing things don't seem to be working too well. Folks, we're going to take a quick break here. There's a lot to get to as we work our way through the day today. Feel free to join us at any time, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be back the other side of this. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But you understand when I say that's what the rap on you is.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident out there on the freeway. Sort of that southbound at Big Beaver. It's blocking the right lane. Aside from that, we are looking pretty good. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a chance of a shower in there as well, high in the lower 70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 51, plus a chance of rain after midnight. Tomorrow, partly sunny once again, but a 50% chance of rain, a high near 64. Currently, it's mostly cloudy and 53 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport.
It's new. It's blue. It's from Mucinex. New Fast Max liquids. Your worst cold symptoms are about to meet their match. Fast Max is the first multi-symptom liquid for adults from Mucinex. Mr. Mucus and his friends won't know what hit them. Mucinex in, mucus out. Use as directed.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Now at the Home Depot, buy any bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fertilizer, and we'll throw in a gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max Insect Killer worth over $7 free. Your lawn will be protected all winter, and when spring arrives, a greener, healthier yard will too. A great lawn in the spring starts in the fall with Scott's Winter Guard Fertilizer and a free gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through October 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Cindy Estrada. How are things going with your negotiations with the state?
We're excited because the governor has come out and said that he acknowledges that, you know, here's what we're saying and he's going to look into it. But we can't be an efficient state government when we have so many management. We have a 5.8-1, which means for every 5.8 workers, there's one manager, causing the state to be inefficient, which is outrageous.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310. WDTW.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning, our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day deals with Georgia inmate, now former Georgia inmate, Troy Anthony Davis, who was executed last night after overwhelming evidence presented itself that cast huge doubt on his guilt. Do you believe an innocent man was put to death last night? Do you believe Troy Anthony Davis was unnecessarily put to death last night? That is the poll question of the day, so just go on over to Facebook, search for First Shift, if you're not already part of our community, and go ahead and vote on the poll question. You may also do that via email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and via Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. You know, there are lots of different ways to vote on that poll, but certainly Facebook is the preferred way. We're up to 730 likes. We've been growing steadily, which is good. So let's continue to spread the word. Again, we're building a movement here, not just a radio show, and we need more people to be engaged in the First Shift family. So interesting stuff. Again, if you care to join us, 888-552-3595. We are going to go to the phones, and we want to welcome David in Farmington. Good morning, David. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I actually had a couple different items on my mind that I think everybody ought to be aware of. There was a bill introduced yesterday in the State House that would require all the school systems to print, circulate forms having all their union employees actually sign if they want to have union dues deducted from their payroll. So basically what that would do is it would make the school system a right-to-work school system,
right,
if you will. Because if you don't pay dues, then you're not a union member. So, and, you know, so start division and chaos within school systems, not to mention the added expenditure and time wasted away from teaching kids. There's also another issue. There's a hearing today. The Republicans are trying to get petitions or the right to petition for recall. And one of the people they're trying to recall is Vicki Barnett from Farmington Hills, who is the minority whip in the House. And they're trying to, they're gunning after her. And so in the next couple weeks, you might be seeing, petitioners out there. What they're trying to do is get these recall petitions signed and submitted. So it would be on the February 28th ballot, which of course is the only thing on that is Republican presidential primary.
Right.
So you wouldn't have any Democrats showing up for that anyway.
Well, no, you see, that's, David, that's where they're making the mistake, because that will now force Democrats to go to the polls on February 28th. This is going to backfire on them because people, Democrats, are going to then be eligible to vote in the Republican primary. All you have to do is say you're a Republican. You don't have to sign anything. And so, you know, you can actually sabotage, David, the Republican primary. They're making a huge mistake by doing this, but let them go.
Well, I'm just letting people know that you might be seeing petitioners out there. So, you know, one, be careful what, you know, if they bring in professional petitioners, a lot of times these people will lie or, you know, try to coerce you to get, because they'll get so much per signature. And a good way to thwart that is just stand beside them and ask people not to sign the petition.
Yeah, you're right. That is one of the ways to do it, David. No question about it. And you've got every right to do that.
So, okay, thanks for your time.
All right,
Tony.
David, I appreciate it. Yeah, there's this been, you know, we mentioned this when it first happened about a month ago. You know, there's this been this onslaught of Republicans filing recall petitions against Democrats. Most of them have had a very difficult time in their clarity hearings because they're just not making sense. Vicki Barnett, Representative Vicki Barnett, who has been a guest on this very show, you know, she threatens them because she's staunchly firm and understands what it takes to make things work and understands progress. And, yeah, she's a common sense kind of person, so the Republicans don't like people that actually know what they're doing. At least Republican politicians don't. You know, this is different. The difference between the recall efforts against Republicans and those against Democrats, the ones against Republicans were grassroots efforts. They were actually, they actually grew out of discord over policy. The Democrats are about Republicans trying to get vengeance against the grassroots campaigns that have been quite successful, especially against Paul Scott up in the Genesee County area. So it's very interesting that they're doing this. And again, they're having a real hard time gaining traction. Vicki Barnett has nothing to worry about, but certainly you take it seriously. You do. You take it seriously. It's just ridiculous that, that they're going to this extent. And as David said, you know, what they do is they hire these groups that get so many, so much money per signature. And, you know, as we've learned with the recall Snyder campaign and some of the others, you know, you've got to, there's a certain way these petitions have to be filled out, and there's certain information they have to have on them. And there are a lot of rules that go along with this, and as it should be. It shouldn't be a simple process. I would agree with that. But it's not overwhelmingly difficult either. But it's so it's an interest. I didn't know that they were hiring professional petition signers, but that's okay. That's okay. They're going to find that, especially in the Democratic areas, people are just not going to be interested in signing these petitions, especially once they read why they're being recalled. One of them that I saw that did pass a clarity hearing was they were actually wanting to recall a Democratic state lawmaker for not supporting the tax giveaway to corporations here in the state of Michigan. You know, there are a lot of Republicans that are opposed to what's happening in the state legislature right now. It's kind of embarrassing even to be a Republican in the state right now. I get that. Don't know if you folks saw the polling numbers yesterday, but Mitt Romney's still doing quite well in Michigan. Pete Hoekstra, his campaign is getting a whole lot more notice than Clark Durance, and that's a fight that the Republicans are going to have to just do on their own. So things are not going necessarily as well as the Republicans would like us to believe they are. It's pretty interesting how they're how the Republicans at the state level, I'm not talking about individual voter Republicans, but politicians, lawmakers, consultants, etc., are really having a difficult time gaining traction because they're just so bad with message right now at the state level. There's no question that's true. In the meantime, we have to deal with them because they are putting policy together that has been disadvantageous to the majority of people in the state of Michigan. I had the great fortune last night to speak at the Community Democratic Club in Canton. What a passionate group of people that get it. They understand the work that needs to be done. Larry Henney, who is a good friend, I'm sorry, Jim Amar, who is a good friend, is the president of that group, has a lot to be very proud of, because the Community Democratic Club is again one of those groups that stands up. And that was really a pleasure to speak to them last night. Kind of walked out of there pretty pumped up. Had trouble going to sleep last night as a result of that. Let's take a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to listen to some audio. Troy Anthony Davis executed in Georgia last night. Lots of people believe he was probably innocent. Probably should be enough when it's a death penalty case. Do you not think? Let's take the break and we'll come back and discuss it right after we do this.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Some good news. An accident we did have on 75 southbound of Big Beaver that is now out of the way, and we are accident and slowdown free for right now. That will change. I'm Russell Charlie.
Drive through McDonald's today and try the new Cherry Berry Chiller. It's a new naturally flavored iced beverage featuring 100% fruit juice. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a chance of a shower in there as well, a high near 72. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 51, but some rain maybe after midnight. Then tomorrow, 50% chance of rain, partly sunny otherwise, a high in the lower 60s. Currently, it's cloudy and 53 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Thousands of Tyson poultry workers are celebrating a victory for justice on the job in a $32 million legal settlement. More than 17,000 workers at 41 Tyson plants in 12 states will finally get paid for work they did. The legal battle to win this settlement took 12 years. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union filed lawsuits to collect wages for workers who were not paid for the time spent taking gear on and off. The lawsuit settlement means about $1,000 for each worker, including current and former Tyson poultry workers. UFCW President Joe Hansen says every American deserves to be paid for the work they do. This case illustrates one of the benefits of workers having a union voice on the job. The unionization of child care workers is making headlines in two states this week. Jesse Russell reports.
In Connecticut, Governor Dan Malloy has signed two executive orders that will make it possible for family child care providers and personal care attendants to organize. Malloy issued a statement restating his belief in the rights of workers to organize and collectively bargain. In Minnesota, the Republican-controlled legislature is planning to hold hearings regarding efforts of in-home child care workers to organize, while Democratic Governor Mark Dayton has called the hearing a waste of the taxpayers' money. The Republicans said the hearings are necessary to address concerns raised by parents. Dayton could sign an executive order similar to the one signed by Malloy in Connecticut, but he's made it clear he has no intention of doing so. Instead, Dayton wants the 11,000 workers to cast a new vote expressing their desire to organize or not.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Paul Ryan, appearing on a right-wing radio talk show this week, supported Texas Governor Rick Perry's monstrous lie that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. When asked if Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, Ryan responded, "That is how those schemes work." We already know Ryan wants to end Medicare as we know it and replace it with vouchers to buy private insurance. Now he's venturing out onto even thinner ice by comparing Social Security to a Ponzi scheme. Whatever his opinion about Social Security, it's clear it is not a Ponzi scheme. The Securities and Exchange Commission definition of a Ponzi scheme is a, quote, investment fraud that involves the payment of purported returns to existing investors from funds contributed by new investors. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work
with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Very quickly, Troy Anthony Davis, 1108 last night, was confirmed dead. Executed by the Georgia Department of Corrections for a 1989 crime where a Georgia police officer was murdered. Originally, it seemed overwhelmingly that they had the right guy. Troy Davis was the guy. And, of course, you know, you automatically get your appeal. What we find out, now, Troy Davis had always maintained his innocence. As we find out, and many of you followed this either on Facebook or at MoveOn.org or a lot of other places. Truthout was dealing with this. A lot of different organizations got involved. There was plenty of reason to believe that Troy Anthony Davis did not commit this crime, did not commit the crime. Now, this is a death penalty case. Now, some of the more famous people that came out against executing him, and one of the most famous, somebody that I've interviewed a remarkable amount of times, considering who he is Bob Barr. Bob Barr is a former right-wing Republican who is very much in favor of the death penalty. Even he said there was a preponderance of evidence to suggest that Troy Anthony Davis did not commit this crime. Yet he was put to death yesterday. Let's listen to one of the reporters, Rhonda Cook, as to what happened during that execution yesterday evening.
Okay, I'm Rhonda Cook with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He said the incident that night was not my fault. I did not have a gun. And that's when he told his friends to continue the fight and look deeper into this case so you can really find the truth. For those about to take my life, may God have mercy on your souls. May God bless your souls. And to the McPhail family, he said, of course, I did not personally kill your son, father, and brother. I am innocent.
And he maintained his innocence, of course, all the way till his death. He is now dead. Nothing that can be done to undo that. The question is, should he have been executed to begin with? Knowing what is known now. Knowing that 7 of the 9 witnesses recanted their stories, said they were coerced by police into admitting to facts that were indeed not facts. Knowing that there is such a preponderance of evidence to suggest that he may be innocent of this crime, should he have been executed? Well, I think, obviously, the answer to that is no. But the Georgia Department of Corrections, after certainly his defense team exhausted every avenue they could, including an appeal to the Supreme Court, who refused to hear a stay of execution as late as yesterday, executed this man. Well, he is now gone, and I assure you that those that are involved in this, especially those that believe he's innocent, will continue to pursue the truth in this matter. But it does beg the question, does it not? If there is even a sliver of doubt that somebody may have been improperly convicted and imprisoned and sentenced imposed, that we give them every opportunity to either prove innocence or guilt. In this case, that did not happen.
You know what it's going to turn into, or at least what it's turning into for me, is the death penalty at all. Who are we to judge if someone should live or die?
Well, you know, the U.S. is one of the few countries that even has a death penalty anymore.
It's just so scary. If I was around at all, and it was part of my decision to see if a guy is executed or not, I can't have that on my conscience. Even if I feel like 99% he is guilty of what it is, that just to think that this guy was in jail for 22 years, first of all. That's 22 years out of his life where if he is innocent, that you've put him behind bars, that blows me away. Then to execute somebody who might be innocent, it would weigh on my conscience the rest of my life.
Well, you know, interestingly, you say that on the Ed Show last night, because they covered this exclusively, this Troy Davis execution exclusively yesterday. They had the former warden of this prison on, who is now a dean of criminal justice at a university. And even in this former warden, who is now the dean of criminal justice, you know, first of all, is now very anti-death penalty. But Jeff, he talked very specifically about what the prison employees go through when they execute, how it is emotionally very difficult, you know, for them, especially in a case like this. And even yesterday, one of the reports said that the guards were apologizing to Troy Davis, but their job is to carry out justice and the sentence was death. They were just doing their jobs, but he said this weighs on them in ways that people can't even fathom. I think that proves your point perfectly, Jeff.
I don't know if that I could do that job. And I understand, hey, in this economy, you need to have whatever job you got to have. But for me, and I shouldn't judge those people, but
Please don't judge those people, Jeff.
I couldn't
that's
do
not
that.
Fair.
Yeah. I couldn't do it, though.
Well,
I mean,
and that's why you don't do it.
Right. But if that's how it goes down, where my job is to execute a guy who I have a doubt is innocent, I couldn't do that.
And I'm with you, and I would think that this is something. And again, those guards were apologetic yesterday, but they have to do their jobs. Let's go to the phones and welcome Bob to the show. Bob, good morning. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Tony.
Hi, Bud. Yeah, how are you?
Oh, good, good. This execution last night is a tragedy. It's a horrible thing. And I'm not calling to say, hey, yay, you know, he's been executed. But there is another side to this story. And, you know, a couple things. The witnesses that recanted their statements, it took 17 years for them to do that. It was just before his first scheduled execution that these witnesses started to come forward and say, hey, I want to recant my statement. 17 years after the fact, Tony, why didn't they come forward sooner?
Well,
why
wasn't something? These are great questions. I got to tell you, Bob, because this came to my attention only a month ago, which I think is true for many of us. I don't think there are too many of us that knew about this prior to that. As I started to look at that, one of the things that I discovered was that only one of the witnesses that I'm aware of, and again, how much time I'm going to give this after this, Bob, I honestly can't tell you what it'll be, but only one of the witnesses said that, you know, fairly immediately after the first trial 22 years ago, he went public and said, listen, you know, I was kind of coerced into giving my testimony, and the police kept on thwarting what he was doing. But that's one guy, so I can only count, you know, and I don't even know the accuracy of that fact. I don't even know if it's a fact.
Well, Tony, and you do know Mr. Davis was convicted of a shooting just a couple hours before the shooting of the police officer.
Yes.
And the gun matched the same gun from both crimes. Another thing is the other gentleman that was with him, the other criminal, so to speak, you know, the officer went chasing after Mr. Davis, I think Mr. Coles or something was his partner's name. But, you know, so there was a couple things there. I mean, Mr. Davis was convicted of a shooting just within a couple hours of this second shooting that took the life of this police officer. So you have some things going there. The prosecutor, Tony, Spencer Lawton, the district attorney on that case, he's a Democrat. So I don't know that has.
I would like to think that politics has absolutely nothing to do with, especially in a case like this, with justice. Bob, here's the question, and I think this is one thing we can't agree on. You know, I don't know that Troy Anthony Davis is innocent, by the way. I don't know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't.
And I don't know that he's guilty, Tony.
That's the point, Bob, is we don't know, but we do know one thing. Troy Anthony Davis is dead this morning.
Yep.
All right, and should he be dead? I don't know. The answer to that question is we don't know, and there's the injustice. And this is kind of a hard question to ask because I don't know that anybody's pro-death penalty. I'm not. I don't believe the death penalty deters crime. There's plenty of statistical evidence that'll prove that out. Bob, do you think that it's time we take a look at the death penalty in this country and once and for all make a final decision on what we're going to do with it?
Well, Tony, I would be in support of that. One of the things I would say is if we got rid of the death penalty and you're going to keep people in prison for life, then maybe we need to change some of the rules and benefits or perks that prisoners today have.
I wouldn't. I have no problem with that.
Get rid of the television. If you know what? If we got rid of the death penalty, and again, Tony, there's been, I would agree with you. I know that there's been cases where the wrong man has been put to death, and so it's an extremely difficult thing. The family of the police officer that was slain that night, they were looking for closure. They were looking for this to come to an end.
And we're going to listen, Bob, and we're going to listen after we take the break to his mother, to the McPhail, the cop's mother, talk about this for them. I mean, we do need to hear that side of the story. Again, Bob, we basically agree. We don't know that he was guilty. We don't know that he was innocent. But we do know that a man is dead this morning without us having really, I think, talk about closure. I don't think society now has closure on this particular case. And maybe that's not important. There are two facts that don't change. A police officer was murdered. That doesn't change. And a man is dead this morning that may have been innocent. That doesn't change.
Cody, may I say one other thing that hasn't changed is this man had 17, 20 years to go through the judicial system. He had three appeals. He's gone from, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 27 different judges, if I'm correct on that number. It's a very significant number. I think it's 20. And, Tony, honestly, you brought this to my attention. I started...
Real quick, Bob. We got to get to the break real quick.
Tony, I started researching this, you know, several weeks ago because of you. But, yeah, that's the other thing that hasn't changed, you know.
Well, again, we're going to have to wait and see. And I'm hoping somebody takes this up and continues to carry it. Because we need to know what justice... How to define justice. When we come back, we'll take a listen to the mother of the slain officer. This is Tony Trupiano on First Shift. Stay with us. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Malia and Sasha finish their homework a day ahead of time. Malia's 13, Sasha's 10. They don't wait until the night before. They're not pulling all-nighters. If you know you've got to do something, just do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Have you heard about Ulta Beauty? It's the fabulous store with 20,000 cosmetics, hair, and skincare essentials. And now's the time to check it out, because Ulta is celebrating all things pretty at our 21 Days of Beauty event, with a new beauty steal every day, free gifts, and expert tips from Benefit, Philosophy, and more. Get in on this incredible event through September 24th at Ulta. See you there, beautiful. Visit Ulta.com for a special coupon. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, the new president of the Michigan Education Association, Stephen Cook. Why don't the teachers just finally say, enough's enough, we're going to strike?
It's not off the table, but it's just not something that teachers want to do. They want to teach. They don't want to strike. I think they're, in many respects, asking the MEA on their behalf and with their assistance, certainly, to deal with some of these folks.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, Tony Trupiano with you. Before we get to that audio, I got to remind you, we've got a special guest in this hour. Those of us that can wax nostalgically about Boblo Island, remember the ride. The ride was about the boats. The boats were a lot of fun. It was a part of the experience. The Boblo boats were definitely a part of the experience. Well, this Saturday, there is a fundraiser, an effort to restore the Columbia. And this has been an ongoing battle. There have been a multitude of groups that have tried to raise money to restore not only just the Columbia, but the St. Clair. Joining me now is Richard Anderson. Richard is one of those people that wants to see the Columbia restored, and we want to welcome him to First Shift this morning. Richard, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Tony. Thank you so much for having me, and good morning to your listener.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Tell us a little bit about what's going on this Saturday, September 24th, so that people get an idea of what we're trying to do here.
Sure, Will. We're going to have our third annual fundraising cruise on the Detroit River, and it's going to be a Boblo reunion cruise as well. So many of the people who worked on the boats and worked on the island are going to come. They're going to bring their memorabilia, their photo albums. We're going to have dancing and laughter, and just like the old days on the river cruises on the Columbia, and the motor vessel Friendship, which will be leaving from behind Portofino restaurants at 2:00. We're going to start boarding at 1:30. We'll then go up the river and up to where the Columbia is. So people will be able to come by and cruise by the St. Clair and the Columbia. So it'll be a wonderful event. We're asking for donations of $40, and there'll be pizza and all sorts of fun on board. So I hope your listeners can join us.
Now, where do people get tickets if they would like to go?
Certainly, they would either go to our website, which is www.sscolumbia.org. That's, again, www.sscolumbia, all one word, .org. Or they can do it by phone. They can call 248-546-9712. That's, again, 248-546-9712, and they can do it there.
All right, I guess I need to ask. You're going to go up the river. You're going to take a look at the Columbia. Is there restoration work currently being done?
Yes, although I have to warn your listeners that when they look at the ship from the outside, she's going to still look very tattered and sad and worn. But on the inside, we've done considerable work, and she's now stronger on the inside than she's been in many, many years. And we are raising money to do this last step, which is to put a watertight seal on the top deck, which will then prevent any further weather damage.
All right. And again, the Columbia is how old at this point, Richard Anderson?
It's remarkable, Tony. This year she celebrated her 109th birthday.
Wow.
And so next year she's going to be 110. She is now the oldest and grandest surviving passenger steamer in the U.S.
Wow, that's amazing. Ultimately, what is the goal for the Columbia once she is fully restored?
The goal is to have her up and running once more so that people, just as they remember in their nostalgic days, they can come on board, they can watch the steam engines at work, kids can learn about the history of steam and the history of maritime in the U.S., and we can have lectures and exhibits and also dancing and laughter in the ballroom.
All right. So, that sounds very exciting. Again, it's going to be this Saturday, folks, this Saturday, boarding at 1:30, departure at 2, the cruise returns to the dock at Portofino at 5 p.m., again, $40 per person. The phone number is 248-546-9712, 248-546-9712, or just simply go to sscolumbia.org, sscolumbia.org. We'll make sure we get that on our Facebook page as well. So for those people, Richard, that would like to come and have a slice of nostalgia this weekend, and Saturday's actually going to be a pretty nice day. It's going to be in the upper 60s. I think it's a great day to be out on the water.
Tony, I hope you'll come and join us. That would be so much fun.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. We do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tony.
My pleasure. This sounds like fun. I'm a Boblo boat fan, so It's kind of neat. And a lot of people have tried to restore these boats. And finally, you know, Richard is part of a group that was successful in doing that.
I love Bobolo.
Yeah.
I loved it back when it was, you know, you could go there and ride rides and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Actually, I was part of the first team to ever play soccer on the island. They had built soccer fields, and they had a tournament, and our team went and played soccer when I was a kid.
Now, you guys didn't take one of the Bobolo boats over, did you?
Yeah.
Did you? All right.
Yep.
I just, you know, there was this time where, you know, they were out of service, and so it was kind of weird. I don't know. They've tried to do a lot with those boats. And I remember actually a time, this is probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, they thought about turning them into gambling vessels. And that didn't fly. But, you know, they've tried to revive these boats many, many times. 109 years old. I was a little surprised to learn that. I didn't realize that the Columbia was that old.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah. So, well, you know, listen, folks, for those of you that want to support a good cause, this is a good cause. Again, we'll have it up on the Facebook page here in fairly short order. Although I had promised to play the audio from Officer McPhail's mother, I'll get to that at 7:35. We've got time at 7:35. Yeah, we do. So we'll get to that at 7:35. That gives us a chance to have a real conversation. I would hate to just throw it in there at this point just to get it in. So we'll do that. But certainly, if you want to... If it's Saturday afternoon, is today not the first day of fall, Jeff? I'm wrong on that?
Officially?
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up, but it sure felt like it this week.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's the 21st, 22nd, somewhere in there.
All right, well, let me look it up real quick.
Yeah, okay. But I believe that if it's not today or yesterday, it's tomorrow. I mean, we're right in that area, so that means summer's officially over. Not just after Labor Day over, but officially over. Man, where does the time go?
I love fall, but the worst thing about fall is that winter's almost here.
Well, the problem with fall, unlike, you know, going in from spring to summer, is, you know, you transition into nicer weather. And when you transition from winter to spring, you're going into nicer weather. Fall's the only season where you transition into not nicer weather. So I love fall, too. I love the beginning of fall. And, you know, when we're fortunate, you know, we get an awesome September, an awesome October. You know, November, of course, can start snowing. It can start snowing in October, for that matter. I miss it. I miss nice weather when we don't have it. I'm not a big fan of winter. You'll hear me gripe about it a lot this year, unfortunately. Why do we complain about the weather if we have something to do about it?
Here's your official word. The equinox is either the 22nd or the 23rd of September every year. This year it's the 23rd.
Okay.
So it's tomorrow.
So it's tomorrow.
And
what time does it say?
Oh, geez. No, it doesn't say.
That's all right. That's all right.
This website I'm on is called applesfortheteacher.com.
All right.
Apples. So I just thought I would put that out there.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Radford. Appreciate that. Tomorrow is the first day of fall, so enjoy the rest of summer while you can, while you may. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. We visit with Eric Beiler of the Coffee Party after we take this quick break. Everybody stay right where they're at. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays on 696 westbound between Cousins and 35, and then 35 southbound from 11 mile down to 9 mile. Aside from that, we're looking pretty good. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, we're looking at some partly sunny skies, but a chance for showers after 8 a.m., a high in the lower 70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of rain after midnight, low in the lower 50s, and then on Friday, partly sunny, but again, a chance of rain, a high near 64. Currently, it's cloudy, 53 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, Troy Davis maintained his innocence right up until the moment he was executed for the murder of Mark McPhail. John Lewis with CNN affiliate WSB witnessed the execution in Georgia and tells us what Davis said before he died.
He said that he was not personally responsible for what happened that night, that he did not have a gun. He said to the family that he was sorry for their loss, but also said that he did not take their son, father, brother.
The U.S. Supreme Court denied Davis's last-ditch appeal. The victim's mother, Annalise McPhail, says the 11th-hour appeal was very upsetting.
I lost my son, the father of my grandchildren, and I have been very hurt and very upset with all these things that's been going on for years, so I want it to come to an end now.
There was also an execution in Texas last night. Lawrence Brewer was one of three people convicted in the brutal dragging death of James Byrd 13 years ago. The two Americans released by Iran Wednesday are now in Oman. Here's what Josh Fatale had to say after he and Shane Bauer arrived there.
We are so happy we are free and so relieved we are free.
Iran's president is supposed to speak to the UN today. The Palestinians will ask the UN for statehood tomorrow. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the Palestinians must first negotiate peace with Israel before they get full UN membership.
The Palestinians deserve a state, but it's a state that has to make that peace with Israel. And therefore, their attempt to shortcut this process, not negotiate a peace, that attempt to get state membership in the United Nations, will not succeed.
NASA says over two dozen pieces of a falling satellite have a good chance of surviving re-entry into Earth's atmosphere tomorrow. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot, buy any bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fertilizer, and we'll throw in a gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max Insect Killer worth over $7 free. Your lawn will be protected all winter. And when spring arrives, a greener, healthier yard will too. A great lawn in the spring starts in the fall with Scott's Winter Guard Fertilizer and a free gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through October 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
There was a time when people made fun of 20-somethings who still lived with their mom and dad. It's not funny anymore. New census figures this morning find that in record numbers, young adults struggling to find work are staying with their parents. They're putting off marriage and buying fewer homes. They face the highest unemployment rate since World War II and face a 1 in 5 risk of living perpetually in poverty. A Harvard economist calls it the lost generation. U.S. stock futures strongly suggest that Wall Street's post-Fed temper tantrum late yesterday has significant carryover possibilities. S&P futures down 26, NASDAQ futures down 51, Dow futures down 220. $1.8 billion is how much money the hotel industry will make this year off of fees, according to New York University. That's almost double the income from fees a decade ago. Much of it comes from new charges, such as for room service trays and storing your luggage. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking, is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing 0, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million shopping carts being filled. 275,000 homes being built. Yep, that's the sound of a CSX train doing its part to move the economy forward. Sounds pretty good. CSX trains are the most efficient way to bring goods to market. See how at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Dear Kelly, we're so proud of the young woman you're becoming. You've been working very hard, and pretty soon, you'll go off to college. And when you do, we'll make you a deal. You keep up the grades, then we'll cover the tuition. Love, Mom and Dad.
When you give the gift of New York life, you give the most selfless gift of all. Whole Life Insurance gives you the financial protection to help achieve your family's goals, in good times and bad. Contact your New York Life Insurance Company agent or visit us at newyorklife.com.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this early Thursday morning. It's just after 7 o'clock. And, well, you know, interestingly, as I'm listening to that show open and I'm thinking about the coffee party, they kind of melded together. There's a nice juxtaposition there. And one of the things that I really like about my next guest, and I'll get to introducing him in just a moment, is that when you look at his background, it doesn't necessarily scream activist. It really doesn't. He's a filmmaker, a well-awarded filmmaker. He worked on a documentary that came to my attention some months back, and I've had a chance to watch it. It was just fascinating to watch what has happened over a simple post on Facebook. You know, interestingly, I started the show, for those of you that weren't with me at the beginning of the show this morning, you know, there were a lot of changes to Facebook yesterday, and I said if we could harness the energy that was expended yesterday over people's displeasure with Facebook changes and we could get that kind of funneled into our political links, I can't even imagine what we would be able to accomplish. But sure enough, we'll work on that. How's that? You know, we're definitely going to work on that. Anyway, let me turn my attention to my next guest. This also happens to be an opportunity for you folks, and I'm going to get into that in detail as we work our way through the interview today. But joining me now is Eric Beiler. Eric is a director and producer and co-founder of The Coffee Party, something that many of you are quite familiar with. We're going to talk about the advent of the coffee party, how it came to be, and where it may be headed from here. Plus, they've got a rally coming up that I want to make sure you know about. I may be attending, so maybe we can put a group of people together and go to Washington, D.C. and be heard. But, Eric, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and thank you for having the courage of your convictions and utilizing your talents to help us all. Democracy works when people like you get engaged, and I appreciate that, Eric.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
It's not too early for you, is it, pal?
No, I've had my Fruit Loops and coffee. I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Let's talk about how the coffee party came to be. This is not a very difficult story, actually, and there's, a fairly easy a progression of how this happened. Now, where it's gone from there, maybe not that logical because it's kind of exploded in a very good way. But how did this come to be, Eric?
Well, my partner, Annabelle Park, posted something to her Facebook status that essentially was rejecting the media narrative at the time the Tea Party represented America, and that America rejected the outcome of the 2008 election and was just extremely angry and really preferred that we dismantle our government if that was going to be the outcome of the election. And so Annabelle, she's a Korean-American immigrant with a pretty good fan base on, you know, in terms of friends, I should say, on Facebook. At this time, she only had friends. But this then became a fan page. And it really did start to grow because I think she kind of pierced through the veneer. And a lot of people were kind of flooding through that little hole that she made in this facade and saying, I feel the same way. And pretty soon there were people all over the United States creating coffee party chapters. You know, just based on Annabelle saying we should have a coffee party, but almost in jest. And we really spent the next year trying to catch up to the sudden realization that we were looked upon as you know, ordinary Americans, but suddenly we needed to organize a movement. And so the good thing about organizing a movement after it started and trying to raise money, you know, to support having a staff and chapters after it's already exploded into, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, is that you can include them in deciding what the direction and the purpose of the movement will be. And that was the really, you know, great learning experience for me in all of this. We ultimately decided that the focus of the coffee party would be three issues, money and politics and election reform, Wall Street reform, and tax code reform. And I think, you know, this was way back in, you know, March of 2010 that we had this vote. And ever since then, it seems like those are the three issues that have been plaguing our country. Certainly since then, but maybe, you know, for the last three decades, some of us didn't realize it until lately.
Well, you know, and that kind of is ironic. Let's take a little bit further step back, though, and talk about the documentary I referenced, 9500 Liberty, because that, for a lot of people, at least for the story that I see emerging here, is kind of the foundation of I don't know, at some level of your activism. That story that was so brilliantly told in the film that you and Annabelle Park put together, that documentary, is extraordinary. And for those that aren't familiar with it, go to 9500liberty.com, 9500liberty.com. I want to suggest that people purchase a copy of that and really take some time and watch that movie and watch it more than once, because there's some really exceptional stuff that happens there. Eric, is that part of the reason that this coffee party idea perhaps became more realistic for you and Annabelle?
Yeah, I think the experience of making that film gave us the confidence to think we could actually do this, that we could actually organize a social media civic engagement movement at the national level, because we did it at the county level. 9500 Liberty is the story of the only time in American history where an Arizona-style immigration law was actually implemented. This is in 2007, and under a different Justice Department, the Bush Justice Department, the law was allowed to go into effect, which is unlike what's happened in Arizona, Alabama, and Georgia. And this is the county where I live in Virginia. What we decided to do was to begin to document this and share our footage as we found it, as we discovered the story. We shared it on YouTube, and it may be the world's first interactive documentary. Every video ended with a little note that said, go to youtube.com/9500liberty to add your voice. And pretty soon there was a little community of concerned citizens who were not participating in the traditional ways because our community, our county, had been polluted with such hateful rhetoric and really threats. It was the first time I had ever been threatened, you know, for not even what I think, but what I filmed someone else say. And this community was just torn apart by the notion that the police could be appropriated by one community in order to remove another community, and that the police would no longer focus on law enforcement first and foremost, but immigration status. And, you know, public safety would be public safety would be compromised for the basically segregation, or for figuring out who among us not only looks like an undocumented immigrant but actually is. And the police were required during the 8 weeks that the law was in effect to check the immigration status of people they had probable cause to think were undocumented immigrants. And it just tore the community apart. And when we started the YouTube channel, most of the people in the county were afraid to participate. And they gathered an online resistance using they were using fake names because they were afraid to even reveal what they thought, and put their real name to it. But eventually the community began to meet in person, and then they began to organize, and we were able to film all of this and have some, play a leadership role in all of this, because we did call for the first meeting. But what happened was is that Republicans and Democrats and members of the immigrant community, members of the religious community, and members of the business community came together. I should say also African-Americans and Muslim-Americans came together to repeal this law. And if you watch the movie, you sort of feel like, I mean, it's all the same tactics that the Tea Party has used, intimidation tactics. And so you feel, as you watch the movie, that it's almost like deja vu. And that's the way Annabelle and I felt in reverse. We experienced it at the county level first, and then after the 2008 election, you saw it happen to our country as a whole. And anytime you can succeed in alienating or intimidating large numbers of people out of the political process, it becomes possible for radical ideas to take root.
Well, it's an extraordinary piece of filmmaking, and that you can't help but be affected. And the way the story is told, which is done brilliantly, I will say, and I really want to encourage this audience to go out and purchase 9500 Liberty. And, this is something that you can actually bring groups of people together to experience. You don't just watch a documentary like this, you experience it. And it really is extraordinary. Eric, stay where you're at. We need to take a quick break here. We'll come back, talk more specifically about the coffee party, perhaps an opportunity for this audience, and certainly an opportunity to discuss democracy in a way that I think more of you will feel comfortable doing in an atmosphere that is safer, if you will. And we'll get to all that in just a few minutes. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays out there on Sutter Ave southbound between 12 miles down to 8 miles. 606 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. That's a little bit backed up as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, partly sunny, a high near 72. A chance of showers in there as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Again, a chance for some showers after midnight, a low around 51. And then tomorrow, partly sunny. 50% chance of rain in there, too. A high in the lower 60s. Currently, it's cloudy and 53 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport. More First Shift after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift,
the leader of the Michigan AFL, my good friend Mark Gaffney. Some of these folks, good, hardworking union men and women, now qualify for food stamps. Where'd we go wrong?
That's ridiculous, isn't it? So that taxpayers have been put into the position of having their hearts made cold and hard by saying those workers that we hire in our city to provide services, keep us safe, keep our streets clean, pick up the trash, we're going to keep in poverty.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also, so follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning. My guest, Eric Beiler, he is one of the co-founders of The Coffee Party. And, you know, it would be easy to say, well, the coffee party is the exact opposite of the tea party. It would be easy to say, but it would not be the correct thing to say. Eric, it really would do a disservice to say that it is the exact opposite. I don't know what the exact opposite of the tea party would really be anyway, because I don't know anybody on the left that's quite that extreme. I know they're out there. I just don't happen to know them. So the question is, you know, if you were to ask to be defined what the coffee party is, what is it?
We are funded by ordinary Americans, small donations, and not by billionaire partisans. We are transpartisan and inclusive. We are diverse. We certainly wouldn't be, radical to the level that, that the Tea Party is. And I think if there was an equivalent on the left, that was that extreme, there certainly wouldn't be an infrastructure, to promote and to exploit the left as a, you know, the left extreme as a political movement. I just don't think our country is wired that way. What we really are is we believe in civility. That was one of our early principles, and we believe in having respect for diverse opinion and diverse ideas. We believe that if you deny yourself the opportunity to hear people with different perspectives, you're actually limiting the degree to which you can contribute to a conversation. So we have really great online discussions. Our Facebook page has over 400,000 fans, and it's kind of like a virtual town hall. We post four things a day, and often there are articles that one of the members of the community has written, or there are articles in one of the from mainstream media. Or videos. We make a lot of videos because I'm a filmmaker and Annabelle is too, and you can see them at youtube.com/CoffeePartyUSA, and CoffeePartyUSA is also our website.
All right, and so, you know, and it's interesting because some would say your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness, and that is that you are open to all, that you are about civility, and that, of course, presents both opportunities and challenges. I'm sure you've had more than one tussle on your Facebook page. I'm sure that it's not always nice and peaceful. And, and I understand, if it's even a criticism, I do understand it, though, because right now the conversation is, and the volume is turned up so loud, and the right and the extreme right in this country are very good at saber rattling, that to be civil throughout this conversation, some would say, well, it's a grand idea, but it's just, you're not going to be heard. How do you respond to that, Eric?
Well, we already lived through this, when we made 9500 Liberty, and we saw people who stood up to a law that many considered to be rooted in racism with a simple argument. You are racist. Anyone who considers supporting this law as a racist, and essentially they tried to use the most hurtful language they could come up with, even worse things than that, because they were wounded by the letter of the law itself and then the rhetoric that was being used to try to dehumanize the Latino community. And what we found was that if you respond to someone, kind of swinging this angry ball of, rhetoric, towards you on a chain, by grabbing that and throwing it back, then what it becomes is this pendulum or this medallion that hypnotizes your community into hating each other more than they love their country, or in this case, more than they love their county. And that is that's playing right into the hands of a political strategy that radicals use, that really insurgents use. In a democracy, when you only have a small minority of people who support your policies, if you can shrink the participation down to a level that's easier to manipulate by intimidating and alienating people from the process, you have a better chance. And so, the Tea Party tactic really is to pollute political discourse, and we don't want to be adding momentum to that swinging pendulum ball by using that kind of language and that kind of politics of denunciation right back. And in Prince William County, what happened was is that once the smoke had cleared and everybody had been called a racist and everybody had been called an illegal alien or accused of being an illegal alien, we began to look at things like public safety and the local economy and the fiscal solvency of our government. And based on those issues, there was common ground because we all wanted to rescue our economy from the impacts of this law. We all wanted to have our crime rate continue to go down instead of going up suddenly, which it did in the wake of all of this chaos and the loss of trust in the police in our county. We found that there was a better way. So it's not out of, conflict avoidance or anything like that. It's not that we want to be nice. It's that we want to be effective. And we feel that if we can bring people back into the process, we can create a safe environment for people who just think of politics as way too ugly and divisive to join in. If we can actually increase our electorate and increase the number of voices, that we'll have a better chance of having a better outcome.
Well, I think that that's a perfectly fine way to define it. Certainly the challenges, and I have that challenge on this show. Part of what you'll find at coffeepartyusa.com is a section that says, building a sustainable movement. And I often tell people that what we do here is not a radio show, but a movement. And Eric, when you want to build something that you want it to be sustainable, you want it to have impact. I gave a speech last night, where I talked about wanting to make a historical difference, wanting to look back at my life and saying, yeah, I was part of a group of committed people that did that. I can look at that and say, yeah, I had something to do with that. Now, I think that it's worth having that discussion. And then it's worth, of course, engaging people beyond just the discussion phase into participation, which brings me to the rally you have coming up at the end of October. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, October 29th, it's a Saturday. It's the anniversary of the Rally to Restore Sanity. I think that there's a lot of overlap in the audience of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert in the Coffee Party. There's a video on our new website for the rally, which is citizensintervention.com. But we decided to hold the rally on that date because we want to take it a step further than what Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert were willing to do. I mean, they did prove that, you know, using a media conglomerate and some very talented cast members, you can get the consumers, the television product, to en masse, take over the Washington Mall, and you can film that. And if you are so invested, you can create a populist movement.
Absolutely. Hey, Eric, let me interrupt you a second. Is there any way I can get you to stay with us a little bit longer?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Let us take a quick break here. We'll come back, and I don't want to rush through this part of it. I want to talk more about the rally. Eric Beiler, again, my guest. He's with Coffee Party. He is one of the co-founders with Annabelle Park. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. We're going to get all this stuff up on Facebook, so don't worry if you can't write it all down right now. We'll make sure it's there for you in a little bit. So stay where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays out there on 75 southbound between 12 Mile and 8 Mile. We do have an accident northbound 75 at Holbrook. It's on the shoulder, though. It's not really causing any delays. 696 westbound between DeQuinter and 75. You'll find some slowdowns there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A forecast for the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a slight chance for a shower in there as well, a high in the lower 70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain after midnight, a low in the lower 50s. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, again, there will be some rain around with a high near 64 degrees. Currently, it's mostly cloudy at 53 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Thousands of Tyson poultry workers are celebrating a victory for justice on the job in a $32 million legal settlement. More than 17,000 workers at 41 Tyson plants in 12 states will finally get paid for work they did. The legal battle to win this settlement took 12 years. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union filed lawsuits to collect wages for workers who were not paid for the time spent taking gear on and off. The lawsuit settlement means about $1,000 for each worker, including current and former Tyson poultry workers. UFCW President Joe Hansen says every American deserves to be paid for the work they do. This case illustrates one of the benefits of workers having a union voice on the job. The unionization of child care workers is making headlines in two states this week. Jesse Russell reports.
In Connecticut, Governor Dan Malloy has signed two executive orders that will make it possible for family child care providers and personal care attendants to organize. Malloy issued a statement restating his belief in the rights of workers to organize and collectively bargain. In Minnesota, the Republican-controlled legislature is planning to hold hearings regarding efforts of in-home child care workers to organize, while Democratic Governor Mark Dayton has called the hearing a waste of the taxpayers' money. The Republicans said the hearings are necessary to address concerns raised by parents. Dayton could sign an executive order similar to the one signed by Malloy in Connecticut, but he's made it clear he has no intention of doing so. Instead, Dayton wants the 11,000 workers to cast a new vote expressing their desire to organize or not.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Paul Ryan, appearing on a right-wing radio talk show this week, supported Texas Governor Rick Perry's monstrous lie that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. When asked if Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, Ryan responded, "That is how those schemes work." We already know Ryan wants to end Medicare as we know it and replace it with vouchers to buy private insurance. Now he's venturing out onto even thinner ice by comparing Social Security to a Ponzi scheme. Whatever his opinion about Social Security, it's clear it is not a Ponzi scheme. The Securities and Exchange Commission definition of a Ponzi scheme is a, quote, investment fraud that involves the payment of purported returns to existing investors from funds contributed by new investors. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Now at the Home Depot, buy any bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fertilizer, and we'll throw in a gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max Insect Killer worth over $7 free.
Your lawn will be protected all winter. And when spring arrives, a greener, healthier yard will too. A great lawn in the spring starts in the fall with Scott's Winter Guard fertilizer and a free gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through October 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on Thursday morning. Eric Beiler, one of the co-founders of the Coffee Party, coffeepartyusa.com. Also one of the co-makers of the film, the documentary 9500 Liberty. Again, I want to recommend that you all go see that. And the brand new website with their Enough is Enough rally, citizensintervention.com. And again, we're going to get this all on the Facebook page for you, so don't worry about keeping it all straight right now. Erica rejoins us, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us this morning. Let's talk a little bit more about that rally, because we had to interrupt you to get to the break.
Sure. Well, I was saying that, you know, there were actually a lot of people on the left who were disappointed with the Rally to Restore Sanity because Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert didn't go so far as to organize a populist movement out of their entertainment programming the way that Glenn Beck and other programs on Fox News did. And I think that they have a good reason for that, because really the underlying message of their work is that populist movements should not begin with media empires. They should begin with the people. And so this year, as we mark the anniversary of the rally, we want to see what free speech looks like when it does begin with the people. And so the theme of the rally is intervention. You know, we're not beginning with this notion of, you know, hating the government or hating other people in the country and organizing around that. What we're saying is we love our country, but there's been a fundamental breakdown in the social compact and in our relationship with our government. We've gotten so far away from self-governance, from government of, by, and for the people, that we're seeing that our laws are being made to benefit really only the plutocrats, only the ruling class. And we've kind of woken up to the fact that not just the last year or so, or just the last few years, but the last 30 years, our tax code, the campaign finance laws have been eroded. The way that we give tax benefits back to the large corporations in order to encourage them to do what they would do anyway, which is make money, it's all served to really it's really served to hurt our economy, because the middle class is not able to purchase the goods that our corporations make. And it's just, I think you could call it economic malpractice that we're seeing. And so we need a U-turn on these 30 years of policies. And I think the only way to do that is to show that people power is ready to rise up and balance corporate power, so that our elected officials are at least as concerned about being voted out of office as they are concerned about being advertised out of office. And the way that we're going to organize the rally is we're allowing any person who wants to speak to get up on the stage and speak. We don't want the American people to be in the audience anymore, just to be consumers of media products. We want the American people to stand up and become creators of content, creators of political speech, and spreaders of political speech. And social media makes that possible. And that's what Annabelle and I have learned over the last few years, is that there's incredible things that are possible when you just, as a volunteer, step forward and say, I can lead a movement. And we're looking for another 50, 100, 1,000 people like that who can lead movements like the Coffee Party. Because if we have an interlocking network of networks like the Coffee Party, we have 500,000 people in our network, which we did starting with no money at all, and then with very small donations, averaging about $25, but from thousands of people, we've had a lot of impact. And so if we can find those leaders, and there are people flying in from all over the United States to speak at this rally, and then connect with them online, we think we can create essentially a people's lobby. Annabelle and I live near Washington, D.C., and we have many friends here who can help us be a welcoming committee for ordinary Americans, imagine that, who want to walk into congressional offices on Capitol Hill and say, this is what we demand. And I think if we can get this to catch on, and we hope that you'll do a free speech open mic event in Detroit as well. They're already, I think there's already 40 or so, or maybe it's up to 50 or 60 now, events that are being planned around the country in October to really demonstrate what happens when the people actually get a chance to take that microphone, because I think we've spent way too much time listening to pundits and politicians.
Well, there's no question that's true. So I'm going to throw this out to my audience. Eric and I have, of course, talked off air. This is not the first time he and I have a conversation. I would like to get more involved in the coffee party movement, but and I actually mentioned this on the show twice last week. I do not have the time, not that I don't have the interest, but I do not have the time to lead this effort. So, dear audience, you now have the unique opportunity to decide whether or not we put together. Now, there is a loosely formed group here that doesn't seem to be doing much right now. We can easily turn that around. So if you are engaged in the coffee party or were engaged at some point here in Metropolitan Detroit, and for whatever reason, you know, that kind of quieted down, now's the chance to reengage. But I'm going to need help to do this. And if we're going to do this, we're not going to do it half-assed. I don't do anything half-assed. So, folks, I'm going to put the email address out there one more time. If there are enough people out there that are willing to put a group together here in Detroit, I am more than happy to fully participate in those activities. So let me know via email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and we can start to put the framework of that together. Now, keeping in mind that the work's been done, we just need to plug into what's already there. But we need to do it with purpose, and we need to do it with a sense of reality. And that means that if you're going to commit to doing it, you have to show up and do it. That's the only caveat I have in this for all of you. And I think that we certainly owe that to Eric and Annabelle and to all the other hundreds of thousands of American patriots around the country that are engaging through the use of the coffee party. Their resources and their collective energy, you know. And Eric, it seems to me that at some level there's just a common sense. You know, the coffee party is just taking a much more common sense approach to change. That, you know, we all want access to it. We all need. I mean, it's hard enough to do anything by yourself, but this is not one of those things that you have to do by yourself. I mean, that's the beauty of this, is it not?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the way it would look if you wanted to organize an event in Detroit to help us demonstrate that this is a national movement where the people want to have a voice in these policies. We want to self-govern again. We want to restore democracy. The way it would look is, and if you actually look at the website, citizensintervention.com, there's an image there. It's the shadow of the United States Capitol building, and then there are people along the bottom of the frame, and then there's a brave person who's standing on a soapbox speaking truth to power. And we want that image to become the sort of uniting iconography of this movement, because we're dedicated to doing at least a year. We're budgeting for a year of free speech open mic events around the country and lobbying inside Washington. You know, if you're visiting Washington to see relatives or for business, we're your welcoming committee. We will make your appointment, and we will walk you in to speak with your congressman, senator, or their staff. But what it would look like, to build that momentum, is you find a place where you can get a microphone and hopefully a projector to project this image, the shadow of the Capitol building and this defiant silhouette on the wall. Or we can send you a stencil that you can use to create, a spray-painted sheet that has this image. But the projector is probably better. And then what you have is your speakers will be standing in the place of that silhouette so that it's a logo that comes to life. And that way, when we walk into that congressional office 3 months from now with a T-shirt depicting that logo, those people will recognize that they've seen that on C-SPAN. They've seen it on CNN. They've seen it on YouTube and on Flickr. It's everywhere. It's like that Andre the Giant sticker that Shepard Fairey did. That's a way that we can say that, you know, the people are standing up to take on our civic duty to self-govern. We're no longer going to leave it to the media empires and those people who can afford media empires, because they've led us astray. you know, our country is on the edge of the abyss right now. We've got to do that U-turn, and the people are the only ones who can do it. It seems impossible, but it's happening all over the world. It's happening in Iceland, in Israel, in Spain. It's happening in the Arab Spring. It's really all the same thing, that people want self-governance, and they don't want to be ruled by banks and by aristocrats. And really all we need is to reject this polarizing narrative that there's a left and there's a right, there's a Republican option and a Democratic option, and nothing else on the table, and that we have to choose a side, memorize the talking points, and start fighting. Because that is not, that's not how to engage people. But if we can say, you know what, we trust the wisdom of the American people to make informed decisions together in a deliberative way. And that's why the mic is open. That's why you don't say only people who agree with us can speak at this rally. We're tired of those rallies. We want to say, no, we're confident that if we invite everyone, that the collective wisdom of the people will show through. And that's the spirit of an American intervention, or that we call it citizens intervention. And that's the spirit of the lobbying. We want to call it the people's lobby. The presence that we want to have on a weekly, if not daily basis, on Capitol Hill.
Well, there's certainly a lot to think about. Eric has promised to join us as often as we would like to have him on. We're going to take him up on that. So, folks, now it's up to you. Eric Beiler, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to get all this stuff transferred to our Facebook page, and I'll look forward to re-engaging you in this radio program as we move forward.
Thank you, Tony. Really enjoyed it.
I appreciate it so very much. Eric Beiler again, coffeepartyusa.com. And again, we'll get all this stuff on the website or on the Facebook page, so have no fear. Todd is there. A quick break here. We'll come back, wrap up this hour on the other side. Stay with us, please. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310 WDTW.
Now at the Home Depot, buy any bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fertilizer, and we'll throw in a gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max Insect Killer worth over $7 free. Your lawn will be protected all winter, and when spring arrives, a greener, healthier yard will too. A great lawn in the spring starts in the fall with Scott's Winter Guard Fertilizer and a free gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through October 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
It's true! Ringling Brothers is celebrating 1 of 200, the biggest birthday fashion circus this week. The boldest and greatest show ever! With new heart-racing fantastic feats that can only be felt from the edge of your seat. Experience the all-new spectacle with so much more than ever before. From Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, always the greatest show on earth!
Tickets start at $13. Additional fees apply. Clayton Palace of Auburn Hills, November 9th through the 13th. Brought to you locally by Green Cliffs.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Joe Ashton, UAW Vice President in charge of General Motors negotiations.
This contract doesn't only encompass the UAW. It's also the politics involved, because we wouldn't be here without the Obama administration loan. And now it's a success story because GM has came around. They've made a considerable amount of money over the last couple of years. And when that was going on, it was quite a few people that wanted us to fail, quite frankly.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
Hey, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Again, my thanks to Eric Beiler of Coffee Party USA. You know, go check them out, folks. It just seems to me that we're not doing enough. And I don't know if it's not the right group. And listen, it's not like the Coffee Party is the only group out there. I know that there are others. I still don't seriously see the commitment by average people like you and I. I just don't see it. And maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. You know, maybe that's it. And I'm certainly trying not to be unfair, because that's certainly never my goal. And I understand that we all have our challenges with time and space and opportunity. I get that too. But I keep going back to, you know, the simple idea of sacrifice. And you know, it involves sometimes being uncomfortable. But when the common goal, the common good in this is that we actually move, we actually have progress, we accomplish something, is it not worth the sacrifice that it takes to get there? And in the process, you certainly get to meet other like-minded people. You break bread with them. You get to know them. You build community at that level. Isn't there something to be said about that? Or is it too much to ask? I don't know that I have the answer to these questions, but I certainly have the questions that need answers. I certainly do. I think we all do at some level. And so it's difficult for me to take this all in sometimes and not see enough purposeful work being done to change what's happening. We can all agree, and many of us do agree, on change, that we need change. And even if we're disagreeing on what that change looks like, I don't believe we're doing enough to create change. And I honestly do feel that way, or I wouldn't be bringing this up. And again, I'm not, as I said to the group of people, for those of you that weren't with us earlier today, and I spoke last night at the Community Democratic Club out in Canton. Wonderful group of people. Jim Amar, who's the president, Sandy and Dwayne Flippo, and all of the people involved in the Community Democratic Club, you know, are passionately trying to turn things around in Western Wayne County and beyond. But we all need more help. I mean, every movement needs bodies, needs armies of people to create the kind of change that will make a difference. And I said this last night, maybe we don't have the money, but we have the bodies. We do have the bodies. We just don't have them engaged enough. And until we get more people engaged in the process of change, in that thing we call democracy in this beautiful country of ours, that at the state level is imploding. I mean, what Republicans are doing at the state level is just disastrous. Just disastrous. What's happening at the federal level, certainly not as palatable. There's no question that's true. But to just create noise is not enough. We need to create movement. And it's so easy to create noise and think it's movement. It's not. And it's so easy to belong to something and think you're doing something, even though you're not. And I know that at some level that offends some of you, because I hear from you when I talk this way. But it is not enough to show up anymore. I know I've said this repeatedly. It is not enough just to show up. You need to stand up.
Now, I've told you, and you all have, permission from me or whoever gives you the permission. Whatever standing up means for you, maybe it only means an hour a week, and that's fine. If that's what you have to give, then give it. If you have more, then give more, is all I'm saying. But you need to start giving. You need to start understanding that we need to recruit more people into this movement called democracy. It is one of the few things that we have to hold on to right now. If you are a conservative in this country right now, you are winning, and I'm sure that feels really good. But what are you winning? At the end of the day, what are you winning? Jeff, before the show started today, we were talking again that age-old question. Why do people continue to support or vote or grow those things that don't necessarily support their way of life? Another way of saying, why do people vote against their own self-interest? No one seems to have the answer to that question. Right? No one.
Right.
So how, you can't even at some level venture a guess. I mean, you said it yesterday. Maybe people think at some level one day they will be that wealthy Republican or that wealthy American. Based on what? What do they base that assumption on? Let's say somebody's 40 years old, is making $60,000 a year and just getting by. Did they have this idea in their head, this invention that they haven't developed yet, potential that they just haven't articulated enough, well enough to themselves to know what it will ultimately mean? Is that what it is? I mean, what is it? What is it that allows for that disconnect where you say, yes, we need to protect the wealthiest, the job creators, knowing they don't create jobs? We need to give breaks to those that make the most money because at some level, what? Fill in the blank. That they will what? Take care of you? That's not happening. The same people, the conservatives, the Republicans in our society that believe in smaller government do nothing but impose more regulation on you who support them. They take away opportunity from you. And yet you have no problem voting them into office year after year after year. You are so afraid that what little you have, the Democrats are going to take away from you? Is that what it is? I don't understand. I just don't get it. So here's an opportunity. Here's your opportunity. The coffee party exists. Do you want to plug into it? If you do, tony@thetonyshow.org. If you don't, we don't do it. We don't do it. It's that simple. I'm now putting the onus on you. There's no question that is exactly what I am doing. I've given you an opportunity. You decide whether or not you want to grab it. All right, we'll take a quick break here for the top of the hour. Russ coming up with traffic and weather. We've got CNN with headline news. David Holtz from Progress Michigan on the other side of this break, so you're all going to want to stay where you're at. Lots of stuff to get to yet. We're far from being done. Stay punched in. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
1310 WDTW, Motor City West Traffic Watch.
Well, I've had some problems out there on 696 westbound at the Lodge. There's an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up all the way to Woodward. Starting on southbound between Rochester Road down to 8th Mile, you're going to find an accident there as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Looking at the forecast on the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a slight chance for a shower out there as well, a high near 72. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain after midnight, a low around 51. Tomorrow, the rain will linger around, partly sunny when it's not raining. on your 64. Currently, it's cloudy and 53 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trubiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, Troy Davis maintained his innocence right up until his life ended. Davis was executed in Georgia last night for the 1989 killing of Mark McPhail. Rhonda Clark, a reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, attended the execution and tells us what Davis said just before he died.
To the McPhail family, he said, of course, I did not personally kill your son, father, and brother. I am innocent.
The U.S. Supreme Court rejected a last-ditch appeal to keep Davis alive. Lawrence Russell Brewer was executed in Texas for his role in the brutal dragging death of a black man 13 years ago. Brewer was one of three men convicted in the murder of James Byrd. The so-called Super Committee meets today to consider tax changes for reducing America's debt. Erskine Bowles, who co-chaired the President's Debt Commission, came up with the idea of eliminating just about everything as a starting point that would lead to lower overall tax rates.
We said, let's just get rid of all of these deductions, all of the credits, and let's use 92% of it to reduce rates and 8% of that amount to reduce the deficit. That gave us $1 trillion.
CNN heroes are chosen from viewer nominations from around the world. CNN's Andy Rose has more on the honorees who were just announced.
We've gotten more than 40,000 nominations in the 5 years of our CNN Heroes campaign. Today's top 10 heroes include Amy Stokes of Yonkers, New York. She created a website to connect adult mentors with teens around the world. Also, Eddie Canales of Schertz, Texas, who created a support group for athletes who were paralyzed while playing high school football. And CNN hero Robin Lim moved from Arizona to Indonesia to give free prenatal care to expectant mothers. The CNN Heroes All-Star Tribute airs on December 11th. Andy Rose, CNN.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Right now at the Home Depot, top-rated Behr Premium Plus Interior Paint starts at the new lower price of just $19.96 a gallon. It's the paint you trust, and now it's even more affordable. Which means this weekend you can take your living room from tired to inspired and your walls from white to bright. Then keep them that way for years to come. All thanks to Behr Premium Plus Interior Paint, now just $19.96. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped by the next day, and 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Guard your delivery dock with a Riddle Happy Troll, or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For what you need, right when you need it, simply call, click Grainger.com, or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Some growth, but not at the level hoped for, with waning prospects for the future. That's how many see the economy, and that's how FedEx sees its own business. The company many consider a useful macroeconomic indicator is reporting earnings this morning. Profit up 22% from a year ago, matching expectations, with total revenue coming in at $10.5 billion, mildly exceeding predictions. But FedEx also is scaling back its forecast for earnings and sales for the full year. Almost $2 billion, a nickel and dime at a time. Travelers already feeling nickeled and dimed by their airlines increasingly are getting the same feeling at the hotel, with once-free services such as bellhops and room service trays now charged services. Research by New York University finds the hotel industry will have collected $1.8 billion in fees by the end of the year, almost double a decade ago. Gloom the Fed didn't do more than just enact a long-term bond purchase is slamming stocks around the world, and S&P futures are down 25. I'm Andrew O'Day at Market Watch.
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1. Savings, press 2. For other options, press other options. Is that correct? Press 3. To go back. For checking, press 1. Checking, is that correct? Mortgages. Lost or stolen ATM. For fraud.
If your bank won't let you talk to a real person 24/7 by pressing zero, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million shopping carts being filled. 275,000 homes being built. Yep. That's the sound of a CSX train doing its part to move the economy forward. Sounds pretty good. CSX trains are the most efficient way to bring goods to market. See how at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Right now at the Home Depot, top-rated Behr Premium Plus interior paint starts at the new lower price of just $19.96 a gallon. It's the paint you trust, and now it's even more affordable. Which means this weekend you can take your living room from tired to inspired and your walls from white to bright. Then keep them that way for years to come. All thanks to Behr Premium Plus interior paint, now just $19.96. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped by the next day, and 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Guard your delivery dock with a Riddle Happy Troll, or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For what you need, right when you need it, simply call, click Grainger.com, or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who...
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you. This is our third hour of this Thursday First Shift program. Coming up a little later on in this hour at 8:35, we've got more audio to get to. We'll clean up our conversation on the execution, and many say the wrongful execution of Troy Anthony Davis. Also take a look at some of the headlines that are going on around the country. And, you know, and again, Jeff, this just blows my mind. There's another Republican debate tonight. Another one, and another one in Florida, God forbid. You know, really, haven't we heard enough from these folks already?
Is it sponsored by the Tea Party again?
I don't think this one is. The last one was, of course. The last one in Florida was. But sweet God, and they never talk about anything that's going on. I mean, they never talk about, you know, solving problems. It's just they bloviate about stuff that doesn't matter. And we've heard it all. This is, I believe, their fifth debate.
Well, the last one, what came out was the HPV thing, which no one was talking about till now.
Well, and nobody's talking about now.
Well, I guess, yeah, not now. Till then, and then it stopped, and now we've moved on again.
Right. Well, that'll tell you how effective these debates are. Anyway, We've got bigger fish to fry in this hour and somebody to help us do that. Let's go ahead with our intro.
As we do every week at this time, we welcome the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, David Holtz.
And we welcome David Holtz back to First Shift. David, as always, a pleasure to have you with us on the show. I hope your trip to New York went well.
Yeah, good morning, Tony. It went really well. I got a chance for the first time to... visit the 9/11 memorial and be at the site of the World Trade Center where the construction's going on at Ground Zero, and it was kind of a moving experience for me.
I would imagine. I had a friend that went that hadn't been to New York in a couple of years, and they said that the progress that has been made on that site is just remarkable.
Yeah, and what really struck me is that something I just didn't absorb over the past years of seeing these images on television is how massive this site is. It took me 40 minutes to walk the circumference of Ground Zero, and I probably got to only two-thirds through it. It's a huge, huge site, and it completely changed the world around that site for New Yorkers. I mean, it's I just had no idea how big it was.
Well, yeah, that would be remarkable, and certainly we want to encourage people to, you know, to if you're in New York or you know, you're looking to take a trip, that's not a bad place, not a bad place to go indeed, and it certainly does give you reason for pause and to remember why we fight for the things that we fight for, and if nothing else, you know, David, it also reminds us how important it is that we understand that our voice is critical in the political process.
Yeah, and it's another thing that's really, really, really cool about what's going on there right now is that all of the labor unions, the building trades, the electrical workers, have their signs and the American flags up, and they're working on this rebuild around the clock, and you can tell there's just an immense pride that everyone's taking in the construction that's going on there right now.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. Let's bring the conversation back a little closer to home now. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion over the last few weeks about green jobs. And we know we're hearing a lot of, you know, people saying, well, maybe we need to reconsider this whole green jobs thing. Maybe we're going a little too fast because it just seems that they're not profitable jobs. And, you know, there was a report that said, or those reporting said that Michigan was the only state, and you and I briefly discussed this some weeks back, the only state to lose green jobs, you know, and then somewhere there is the truth. If you listen to the Republicans, we need to abandon the green energy, the green jobs platform altogether just because it's a time that's not ready. A lot of people want to focus on, you know, a failed project here or a failed project there as some kind of proof. But what's the truth in all this, David Holtz?
Well, you're correct. I mean, since July, really, this idea that Michigan is the only state to have lost green jobs has become a Republican talking point. And Jace Bolger, the Speaker of the State House, was on the radio last week with Democratic House Leader Rick Hamill, and he was putting out this lie. It's a lie because the study he cites that defines what a green job is defines it in about as broad a way as you can. And when you look, drill down and you look at the data, you find out that where the losses are that are quote-unquote green job losses are in retail stores that sell consumer goods and in organic farms. And when you look at where manufacturing and some of the most important high clean tech works going on, we've seen job increases. And anyone who's really paying attention and wants the facts knows that this is the case. I mean, since 2010, we had 17 advanced battery manufacturing companies that were located in Michigan or expanded in Michigan, $6 billion in investment. The Environmental Law and Policy Center did a study in March of this year that identified 121 companies in the supply chain involving solar and 120 in wind. And Ford's investing $1 billion in modernizing its Michigan assembly plant to build the Focus and the Focus Electric, to say nothing of the Bolt, which has put 2,500 people to work on the assembly line in the Detroit Hamtramck plant. I mean, this is a place where there are jobs, and instead what the Republicans seem to be doing is pushing a social agenda and talking down one of the areas where there has been job growth in Michigan.
Well, you know, some would say without a government intervention, another way of saying without government subsidies, a lot of these sectors wouldn't exist. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. I, you know, why do they paint that as some kind of a bad thing when really all government is doing is saying, yeah, we understand this is the future. We understand that with the planting the proper seeds, you know, the right stuff will grow. What's wrong with that, David?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, and what we do know is that we are competing with China and other Asian countries who are subsidizing not only the technology to to build their clean technology economy so that they can be the number one economy and replace us. But they're also subsidizing employers in other ways, picking up, for example, the cost of health care with national health care programs. So apparently the Republicans just simply want us to surrender, just surrender to the foreign competition. And when you look at where their interests really lie, which is in really supporting millionaire CEOs and corporations, it kind of makes sense if you're them, because you don't really care if the jobs go to China or not. You don't really care so much, because you're going to continue to get your campaign contributions and your support from these corporations and these CEOs who are shipping jobs overseas. And the other thing is that it is not just these companies that are getting support through an infusion of government grants and loans. Ford Motor Company, it's invested $1 billion in the Michigan Assembly Plant to build the Ford Focus Electric. I mean, Ford is doing this as a private company without any government assistance. So I think, they weren't part of the big three rescue. So I think it's not entirely true that it's only happening with companies that are getting help from the government. And if it is, so what? We need the help.
Yeah, I mean, that really is, I guess that really is the point. I at some level, and we can take this conversation as applicable at the federal level as it is at the state level, we're still looking for, beyond the American Jobs Act, which you and I have not had a chance to discuss, which really does create some real jobs, I mean, some significant jobs in terms of numbers, especially to the middle class. The Republicans still aren't focused on job creation, and to expend energy to talk about an area that is growing, that is green jobs, seems to me to be counterproductive to the conversation about job creation in general. David,
yeah, I think what we're seeing is the Republicans are following the talking points of the Tea Party. Number one, and number two, they just really don't really want the economy to rebound, because it's in their political interests for the economy to do poorly, so that in 2012 they'll be able to make the case that they should replace President Obama and run the country and the economy at that point.
Well, as crazy as that sounds, we have to get to the break. As crazy as that sounds, David Holtz, that there may be some element of truth, maybe a heavy element of truth in that. A lot more to get to on the other side. Of course, feel free to join us, folks. 888-552-3595. Let's take a very quick break here, and we will return with David Holtz from Progress Michigan right after we do this.
Stimulus is unpopular. If we had just done nothing and not spent any more money, as Representative Bachman is arguing, we would have had 16 or 17% unemployment in this country. I mean, we would have had a financial meltdown.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking at some delays out there on the freeways right now. So I have southbound from Rochester Road down through 8th Mile. You're going to find about a 19-minute delay if you drive that entire stretch. 696 westbound from 75 through Evergreen. You're going to find some stop-and-go traffic there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, partly sunny, a high near 72. A slight chance for a shower in there as well. Tonight, showers increase after midnight, mostly cloudy, a low around 51. And then tomorrow, partly sunny and a pretty good chance for rain, a high near 64 degrees. Currently, it's mostly cloudy and 53 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift,
the leader of the Michigan AFL, my good friend Mark Gaffney. Some of these folks, good, hardworking union men and women, now qualify for food stamps. Where'd we go wrong?
That's ridiculous, isn't it? So that taxpayers have been put into the position of having their hearts made cold and hard by saying those workers that we hire in our city to provide services, keep us safe, keep our streets clean, pick up the trash, we're going to keep in poverty.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, David Holtz from Progress Michigan is my guest. And you're going to find them online at progressmichigan.org and on Facebook. Just search for Progress Michigan. And like them, David Holtz, we've got a caller, so let's go to the phones. Again, folks, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Mark in Birmingham to First Shift. Mark, you're on the air with David Holtz.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think this whole green, you know, from the debacle of ethanol, no one ever talks about ethanol anymore. You know, Obama's crony capitalism with Solyndra, the head of the company was a bundler for Obama, and you know that was $535 million down a hole. I think this whole green jobs thing, it's like you know, the Soviet communism planning the economy, the government picking winning and losing technology. They have no ability to do that. It's a fantasy, you know. Let the private capital markets decide if these are good investments or not. And, you know, we can't afford it, and it's dubious science. This is a whole fantasy.
Okay, David, you want to take a shot at that?
Well, you know, there's two different ways you can look at the whole idea of promoting clean tech jobs. You can either take it from a point of ideological perspective where you're just against the government's role in trying to support an emerging competing industry and building American jobs, or you can take a pragmatic role and decide that we need to compete. I mean, we are not the only country that's interested in these jobs, and if it were a fantasy, then we wouldn't see the kind of growth in the clean tech sector that we're seeing in China, for example, which is leading the world right now in the construction of solar technology. I mean, these are the jobs not just of the future, but of today. And again, you know, there's always risk, whether a private company is taking the risk or the government's taking the risk. And for Americans, we just have to decide whether we're going to be pragmatic and compete for these jobs and these industries for our kids and future generations as well as ourselves, or whether we're just going to take an ideological point of view and say it's okay for other countries to subsidize their emerging technologies and so that they can dominate the economy of the future. It's really that simple.
And at some level, isn't the state of Michigan kind of an incubator for this? I mean, as we saw manufacturing jobs disappear, we had nothing to replace them with. I mean, we weren't futuristic. We weren't thinking. And I think there are a lot of governors that need to wear that in both political parties, David. I'm not putting this on Republicans by any measure. But don't you think that we're kind of an incubator for this happening?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen where industry, when it's made the wrong choices, has cost jobs. But industry can make the right choices, and if they have a strong partner in making those right choices, it can really shape the future. And Michigan is a center for this clean technology. And your caller would, I guess, just have us be surrender monkeys about that and let not just other countries, but other states grab this work. And I just don't think most Michiganders agree with that.
Well, I don't disagree. And interestingly, David Holtz, if we were to allow other industries and more appropriately other countries take the lead, which is what's going to happen, then we're going to see what has happened. Let me use this just as a quick example before I go back to the phones. You know, the stem cell, advancements in stem cells. Other countries are not only taking the technology, they're taking some of our greatest talents out of the country.
Yeah, and it's a great example of head in the sand thinking. I mean, why would we not want to be on the cutting edge of medical science in Michigan with all of the incredible infrastructure we have here in medical institutions and all of the jobs in healthcare and all of the people that can be helped who are sick by this science? It's just insane to me, and it's where you take political ideology and have it drive your thinking instead of common sense, pragmatic approach to things.
Absolutely. Let's quickly go to the phones. I want to welcome Sarah in Detroit to First Shift. Sarah, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air with David Holtz.
Hi there. Be patient. I saw this article, and I'm going to have a hard time relaying it, but it's Fire Dog Lake. It's about General Motors and the Chevy Bolt going to China, and that the Chinese are not allowing them to sell it in China unless they slap a huge tariff on it, which basically makes it not too expensive, or they allow China to access the technology that we paid for and that they get to declare it a Chinese car. And instead of taking and challenging this in the WTO, the Obama administration has just said okay and is going to allow this to happen. You can't have green jobs if you let them export those too. And I would like it if somebody would please Google it or go to Fire Dog Lake, take a look for it, and tell me what you guys really know about it.
Right. Well, Sarah, I can tell you just on the surface, I'm not familiar with this article. So, and David, I don't know that you are either, and I would have a difficult time commenting something that I have not read.
Yeah, I will look for that, but it is interesting. I mean, it was just reported, I think, this week that you know, General Motors has 13% of the auto industry market share in China, and that it's developing an electric car specifically for the Chinese market. So I will definitely look for that information that your caller cited, but It's interesting in contrast to the news that's been reported this week.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I've got a few more callers. We're almost up against the break. I know you're very busy. Any chance I can keep you a little later today, David?
Just for a minute or two. I've got somebody coming to talk with me from the Associated Press about a story. So I won't.
Well, you know what? I won't keep you because we're going to need you for more than a couple minutes, and I'll just stay with the callers. But let's try to get one more in before we have to let you go.
Sure.
Very quickly, let's welcome Mike and Celine to the program. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Holtz, I just want to say you're like a voice crying in the wilderness, and I appreciate what you're doing. It's there's so much of the media that's been being controlled and lies out there, including like this last caller you had. She probably got some wacko email that says we're selling out to the Chinese. Hopefully that's not true. And I just want to say I appreciate you being out there and keep up the good work.
No, that's very nice. That's very nice, Mike. Thank you so much. Hey, David, we are out of time for today. We'll visit again next week. Thanks so much, as always, for the generous amount of time you give the show.
Thank you, Tony. I very much appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. Open lines at the top. Lots of other information to get to. So you'll want to stay connected to First Shift. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Typical delays out there on the freeways right now. 696 westbound from 75 through Evergreen. You're going to find some slowdowns there. 75 southbound, anywhere from Rochester Road all the way down to I-94. You're going to find some slowdowns as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, partly sunny, a high near 72. A slight chance for a shower later on. Tonight, we're looking at a chance for rain after midnight. Mostly cloudy, a low around 51. And then tomorrow, again, a pretty good chance for rain. Partly sunny, a high near 64. Currently, it's mostly cloudy and 53 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport.
Now at the Home Depot, buy any bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fertilizer, and we'll throw in a gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max Insect Killer worth over $7 free. Your lawn will be protected all winter, and when spring arrives, a greener, healthier yard will too. A great lawn in the spring starts in the fall with Scott's Winter Guard Fertilizer and a free gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through October 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Thousands of Tyson poultry workers are celebrating a victory for justice on the job in a $32 million legal settlement. More than 17,000 workers at 41 Tyson plants in 12 states will finally get paid for work they did. The legal battle to win this settlement took 12 years. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union filed lawsuits to collect wages for workers who were not paid for the time spent taking gear on and off. The lawsuit settlement means about $1,000 for each worker, including current and former Tyson poultry workers. UFCW President Joe Hansen says every American deserves to be paid for the work they do. This case illustrates one of the benefits of workers having a union voice on the job. The unionization of child care workers is making headlines in two states this week. Jesse Russell reports.
In Connecticut, Governor Dan Malloy has signed two executive orders that will make it possible for family child care providers and personal care attendants to organize. Malloy issued a statement restating his belief in the rights of workers to organize and collectively bargain. In Minnesota, the Republican-controlled legislature is planning to hold hearings regarding efforts of in-home child care workers to organize, while Democratic Governor Mark Dayton has called the hearing a waste of the taxpayers' money. The Republicans said the hearings are necessary to address concerns raised by parents. Dayton could sign an executive order similar to the one signed by Malloy in Connecticut, but he's made it clear he has no intention of doing so. Instead, Dayton wants the 11,000 workers to cast a new vote expressing their desire to organize or not.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Paul Ryan, appearing on a right-wing radio talk show this week, supported Texas Governor Rick Perry's monstrous lie that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. When asked if Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, Ryan responded, "That is how those schemes work."
We already know Ryan wants to end Medicare as we know it and replace it with vouchers to buy private insurance. Now he's venturing out onto even thinner ice by comparing Social Security to a Ponzi scheme. Whatever his opinion about Social Security, it's clear it is not a Ponzi scheme. The Securities and Exchange Commission definition of a Ponzi scheme is a, quote, investment fraud that involves the payment of purported returns to existing investors from funds contributed by new investors. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. Again, we're open lines at the top of the hour. Before we get to some audio and a few stories that I want to make sure we mention, and again, the number 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Jeff, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here, as you know, I get my email on an iPad during the show. And I have an email here that says, no sender, no subject. This message has no content. So, all right, don't understand all that. But here's the screamingly funny part. Do you know what the date on the email is?
No.
12/31/69.
Yeah, that would be that'd be before email was invented. So
I saved it. If you want to come look at it, just so you know, I'm not lying. But it says no sender, no subject, no message to. This message has no content, and yet the date is 12/31/69. When I go to delete it, it won't let me delete it because there's no subject and no content.
That's spooky.
That's weird. That's just plain weird. Anyway, for those of you that were on hold for the green jobs, you certainly can feel free to call back. We just couldn't keep David Holtz any longer. He has stuff to do. You know, he has stuff to do. Stuff to do is okay. We all have stuff to do. And so we appreciate the time that he does give us. Let us go to the phones, though, and welcome Joe at East Point to the show. Joe, nice to hear from you again. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, he's had stuff to do. That's what George Bush said during Katrina. Please don't make me do stuff. Anyway, just a couple of things. It's open line. You know, I call these Tea Partiers and right-wing conservative Republicans. They don't have an ideology. I've termed it an idiotology. And if you follow it, you're an idiot if you buy it, because that's exactly what it is. I would also remind people, as I've told you once on your show, that I know why I am a Democrat, and I tune out sometimes. I get tired of the constant rhetoric and bickering. I tune out, but I do not tune out when it's time to vote, you see. I mean, it's fine to tune out somewhat, yeah, keep your eye on things. The Democrats were in power from 1932 until 1952, and more was done for the benefit of black people, minorities, GIs returning home than has ever been done in the history of this country, and people need to be reminded of that. And, I mean, all of it on the Democratic watch, everything I enjoy, a Social Security check. I got the last of the GI Bill for the Korean War. I mean, all because of Democrats. And, of course, the Republicans fighting tooth and nail every step of the way. So, you know, it's back to basics. I know why I'm a Democrat, and it'll never change. And my grandchildren and my children and their children also know why I'm a Democrat. And I'm going to leave you with that.
Joe, thank you so much. Hey, Radford, why are people hanging up on us? It's like the third or fourth call that somebody hung up once they got on hold.
Yeah, well, not on hold, but we just had people call in and say, you probably have a virus on your computer.
So. Oh, is that what they were saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would assume.
Can an iPad get a virus?
Yeah, I would assume.
I don't think so.
I mean, no, then. I have no idea. I mean, if you're getting an email from 1969, I would think that that's probably not the way it's supposed to go.
How do we know it's not from the year 2069?
Good question.
I mean, I'm just messing with you, dude. It's just weird. I mean, it's weird. When you look down at your email and you see something that says, you know, from no sender with no subject and no message and no content, and then it won't let you delete it. Well, that's a little weird. And then the date on it is 12/31/69.
Yeah. So right before someone was ready to celebrate the new year.
Yeah.
And a new decade.
Bang. Everything came to a screeching halt. I had to tell you, this happened to me a couple years ago. You know how sometimes you'll send an email and then sometimes days or even weeks later, it'll kick back to you that says it was undeliverable?
Yep.
I mean, it's happened. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, as you know, sometimes it happens right away. Other times it happens, you know, a day or two later. So I've had it happen as many as a couple weeks later.
I mean, does it ever give you a reason why?
Yeah, so there's always that gobbledygook that's after the email that'll give you, you know, this is a Q-mail program.
Yeah, I think that's the technical term for it, gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook, right. A couple years ago, God is my witness, I received a bounce back from an email that I had sent 5 years earlier. 5 years earlier.
Did you ever, you had never heard from that person since then?
I don't remember. Obviously, I don't remember that, but I just remember looking the message. I saw the message. It was sent from that email address. And, you know, it had the undeliverable message underneath like they all do. But it was literally 5 years after I'd sent it.
See, that could break up friendships right there.
You're
right,
it could.
Somebody was probably waiting on that email.
Well,
you never
knew
if they got it or not.
Jeff, people think email's infallible. And they do. I mean, you and I have had this problem. I mean, there have been times where you've sent me an email and I didn't get it.
And then you got all ticked off.
I did not. Stop it.
And right before you were about ready to toilet paper my house, you were like, well, wait a minute, I should see if he sent it.
That was your house?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Well, I saw you out there, and I was like, what's he throwing eggs at me for? But
I thought you said toilet paper. Keep your story straight.
Yeah, but you do
if
both.
You're gonna badmouth me, if you're going to badmouth me, you got to keep your story straight.
Have you ever toilet papered? You take eggs with you as well. It makes the toilet paper stick.
Really?
I've never done it, though. I'm just saying. I've heard
stories. Well, no. I mean, this is the toilet paper time of year. You know, the fall and the Halloween. And
I've been toilet papered a bunch.
I believe that.
Not like me personally, the house.
The house?
Yeah.
Your parents' house? Or?
Yeah.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why?
People just get toilet papered. I don't know.
That's a random act of unkindness?
Right. Well, it's stimulating the economy. You go through toilet paper.
You go through more toilet paper that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did they use good toilet paper, do you know, or the cheap stuff? Because if you're going to do it, you've got to use the cheap stuff.
It's been a long time, but I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Well, I hope I don't have a virus on my iPad. Because I was told...
That's what came out of that story.
Yeah, well, I looked down at the email again. It's still sitting there staring me in the face. I think when I go to sync it to my desktop, it'll probably disappear. At least I'm hoping that's what will happen. I need to get rid of it. It's driving me nuts now. 12/31/69. It's kind of funny. 888-552-3595. There's a new website out there called Patriotic Millionaires. Have you heard about this?
I have.
Patriotic Millionaires. And I'm going to make an assumption that some Democrats put this together. But basically it's a group, quite a few, by the way, millionaires and some billionaires. This is a list of members of Congress that are millionaires. 48% of Congress members are millionaires, while only 1% of Americans are millionaires. 55 members of Congress have an average wealth of $10 million, and 8 members have an average wealth of $100 million plus. During the worst part of the recession, 2008 and 2009, the median wealth of a congressional member rose by $125,000, and the median wealth of a House member is $700,000, while the median wealth of a senator was over $2 million. 5 of the 6 Republican members of the new super committee for the budget are millionaires. I don't know if that's problematic. In my world, it is. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. Amongst Michigan members of Congress, Beneshek, who's in the Upper Peninsula, Dave Camp, Candace Miller, and Fred Upton are millionaires. Now, Candace, some of these folks have been public servants for a long time. How do you become, like Rick Perry, how does he become a millionaire while in office? How does that happen? I mean, we kind of know what these folks make. They don't make the kind of money that millionaires normally need to become millionaires. How do they become millionaires? I don't get that as a politician, because, you know, politicians don't really make a ton of money, especially for the kind of hours they put in. How does that happen? How do you become a millionaire as a member of Congress? You know, I just don't understand.
Well, if you control policy, I would
put in policies. What are you suggesting?
I would put in policies to help my businesses out. Right?
But they don't have that. Candace Miller wasn't a businesswoman. I mean, that's not what she was. I mean, she was the Secretary of State for a while, but you know, stop making that kind of money. You know, the kind of money where you can invest in other businesses or, you know, all of a sudden, you know, have some stock portfolio that's worth a gajillion dollars. There's another word I didn't make up, gajillion. I don't know. I just find it curious. PatrioticMillionaires.com is where you want to go. Check it out. It just seems wrong. Yeah, these are, you know, this goes back to that conversation we had a few weeks ago on the show. Do our representatives truly represent us? When 48% of Congress members are millionaires and only 1% of Americans are millionaires, is this really representative government? The answer to that question is definitively, absolutely not. They do not represent us. I realize that, you know, not everybody's born a millionaire. I get that. So maybe they do remember. Another call just dropped off. What's going on over there? Radford, talk to me.
Don't take it so personally. Sometimes people just want to give their appreciation for the show, and then they have to go to work or something. I don't know.
Wow.
Sharon was just enjoying the show and said keep up the good work.
I'll miss you, Sharon. I truly will. All right. Well, listen, I promise on the other side of this break, because we're about to go to break, we're going to listen to Anderson Cooper interviewed the mother of Officer McPhail, who was killed in the line of duty. And, of course, we're talking about the Troy Anthony Davis execution. Preponderance of evidence suggests that Troy Anthony Davis did not commit this crime, although he had committed others, as we found out earlier in the show. Anderson Cooper with the mother of Officer McPhail. We'll come back to that at the other side of this. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break and be back and wrap it up after this.
So many of those who have made so much money recently produce very little wealth for others. They essentially pocket the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
Listen to Real Radio or create your own custom stations. Download the new iHeartRadio app for your iPhone at iHeartRadio.com or iTunes.com/iHeartRadio, where you can also download music from festival artists like Lady Gaga, Jay-Z, Coldplay, and more.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, the new president of the Michigan Education Association, Stephen Cook. Why don't the teachers just finally say, enough's enough, we're going to strike?
It's not off the table, but it's just not something that teachers want to do. They want to teach. They don't want to strike. I think they're, in many respects, asking the MEA on their behalf and with their assistance, certainly, to deal with some of these folks.
First Shift with Tony Trubino on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
You have just heard the word, obviously, that the execution will go ahead. When you heard that, what went through your mind?
Well, I wanted to get over with. We've been sitting here for hours to wait what's going to happen, and I want it over with. We are ready to accept that decision that was made by the courts, and I like to have some peace now when this is over.
Do you think that's possible to have peace?
I sure hope so. I'm working on it, I tell you that, because we have been through hell. He did this. Nobody made him do it. It was his choice. I lost my son, the father of my grandchildren, and I have been very hurt and very upset with all these things that's been going on for years. So I want it to come to an end now.
For 20 years, you've been in and out of courtrooms following this case, looking for justice for your son. Have you ever had any doubts? I mean, when 7 of the 9 witnesses have changed their stories or recanted their stories, have there ever been any doubts that Troy Davis did this for you?
No, I never had. After I went through the original court and trial, from then on, what I saw and heard, I was never changed. I never have changed my mind. And the recantation came after 17 years. They had many choices to be before the court because I was there 4 times in one of them. They had a choice to say and voice their opinion. I don't know why they waited till the last minute to come up with that.
And what are your thoughts about Troy Davis?
Well, there was a lot of anger at one time. Then there was a disgusting feeling what he tried to do, you know, and fight everything, which I in a way can understand. But I think he deserves it. He is the type of person what I have seen and heard about him, and I shouldn't say that because what I've seen, he has made his own bed and he got to sleep in it.
Well, and of course he has. He is now dead. Is that close enough to sleeping in it? You know, my problem with this again, and I don't know that he is or isn't guilty. All I know is there was a compelling enough reason to believe that there maybe isn't innocence, and as a result, he should not have been put to death. But we'll put that aside for now. I am getting, Jeff, inundated with emails, people that are telling me about my 1231-69 email. And apparently this is not a problem that Macintosh or Apple is not familiar with. So we're going to have to, kind of work through this after the show. After the show. All right, email. Hi, Tony. I was on hold to talk, but figured I would email instead. I'm a little upset with the green jobs thing. First, Bush is the one that pushed ethanol, not Obama. Ethanol is about 35% less efficient than gasoline, with CNG being the least efficient, about 82% to be exact. That means that if gas is 100% efficient and you can go, theoretically 100 miles on ethanol, you would go about 64 miles and CNG 18 miles. All right. That is beside the point. First, we need energy efficiency and strict pollution laws. Both can create jobs. When they talk about having to add $1 million pollution control equipment to that Republican that the Republican is crying about, that is jobs. Jobs to build it, jobs to install it. If you are against pollution control, then you are against jobs. That makes sense to me. Second, there is no avenue established to create jobs of any type. I have a patent on a design for pickup trucks that improves fuel economy by almost 20%. I'll take one, please. I tried to bring this to the market myself and wound up bankrupt. Before I went bankrupt, however, I experienced firsthand the lack of any type of structure for a person that is not connected to bring any innovation that saves energy and creates jobs. I experienced the runaround with some lawmakers who I don't want to mention right now because I don't know the validity of this. And his staff in the state of Michigan and their bungling Democrat or bureaucrats, not Democrats. I don't know why I'm so sure some of you enjoyed that slip of the tongue, all the way to the White House and its staff of idiots. What I went through would make a great movie. Let's see. If they were alive, we could have Curly play one lawmaker, Larry play another one, and Mo play another one. Obviously a very unhappy person. You know, that does bring up an interesting point, Jeff. You had posted the Mark Cuban blog post to the Facebook page yesterday and got a couple interesting responses. Mark Cuban says, we need to create more entrepreneurs. We need to create more wealthy people in this country, right? And as a result of that, then you need to pay it forward by, you know, paying your fair share of taxes. Basically, that's what he says, unless I'm paraphrasing it wrong.
Well, in a sense, yes. I mean, he's saying don't give up the dream of being successful, of being wealthy. It's not to say that everyone should strive to be a millionaire. But once you do get there, make sure you take care of those who helped you get there.
But, you know, this guy writes that he obviously invented something. He's trying to patent it. It would be something that would, you know, save 20% on fuel if you own a pickup. That seems to be something that would be applicable to, you know, the market. Yet, you know, based on what he's written, he met nothing but dead ends all the way. You know, we need to keep in mind that it's not just big politicians that sometimes get in the way of progress. It's big corporations. And this seems to be one of those cases. There's anybody that's ever been involved in patent work. It's very, very tedious and difficult. It's hard to meet the threshold of some of what is expected when you file a patent. And it just reminds me that being an entrepreneur is a lot more difficult than people realize. There's no question that's true.
And doesn't that need to be cleared up a little bit, or do you think that what we have is the right process? Seems to me like it should be a little easier.
No, it can be streamlined. There's no question that's true. That can definitely be streamlined. All right, well, let me get ready to wrap things up here.
And now, the last word with Tony.
Well, the last word today is what? Well, I don't know. Maybe confusion is the right word. Confusion, what is it that we want? Do we really know? I think we know what we don't know, but that's not the same as what we do, and that is what you really need to be careful of. You know, I remember telling one of my children, my oldest son, actually, you know, his kid's now involved in Little League sports, and so, you know, you say to him, he's unhappy with the coach, and I say, don't complain unless you're willing to get involved and solve the problem. Well, maybe that advice applies to all of us as well. Maybe you should stop complaining until you're willing to step up and help solve the problem. So confusion may be the right last word, and maybe not. But I know I'm confused because you all say you want one thing, yet I don't see you doing a whole lot to do something about it. And that'll be the last word for this Thursday program. All right, we've got a pretty busy show tomorrow, do we not? Perhaps we have James Hoffa on, president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. I'll confirm that today. So hoping to have him. We've got Joe DeSano, of course, and the We Party Patriots. Now, Jeff, very quickly, the We Party Patriots are a union. It's kind of a union Twitter thing, right?
Yeah, that's what they're going to talk about, the fact that there's hashtags and how do you use them in Twitter and maintaining a message and having it be strong like, conservative movement has been able to do.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. Very quickly, today, 10:30 this morning, at the Birmingham Temple Library, 12 mile between Inkster and Middlebelt, the program, Congressional and Legislative Redistricting, what it means to you. Just show up today, 10:30 at the library at the Birmingham Temple. All right, that'll do it for us. For Jeff and Todd, thank you very much. For you folks, I love you. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Thirteen. 1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, partly sunny, a high near 72. Slight chance for a shower a little bit later on. Mostly cloudy, a low around 51 tonight. A 40% chance of rain after midnight. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a 50% chance for rain. A high in the mid-60s. Taking a quick look at the weekend. Partly sunny and a chance for showers each day this weekend with highs in the mid-60s.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
I'll be a chef, because chefs get to cook yummy cheeseburgers, pizza, and chocolate everything.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a defect in the immune system that affects millions. Early detection can give children a chance to dream.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, 25 years of helping children reach for their dreams. Visit us at info4pi.org or call